welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Yeah. Phone number, if you want to call us, 866-901-ADAM, 866-901-ADAM. I had to glance up at the card and read that, even though two-thirds of it is my name. Still had to look at it on the card. And I realize if you put something on a card and you tell me to read it, I'll read it for 1,000 years. If our phone number was one, just one digit, it was number one, I would have to look up, see the one, and say each and every morning, and then whenever I gave it out. We could be on year number 26 of the show, and I'd say, my name's Adam Carolla, call in. One. That's our number. And my kids would have to do it. Yeah, I'd like to know what that is. Yeah, I know, I just realized, and it's a good lesson in life. You write something down, you put it on the wall, and that's where you then look for it. And that's where I will, if you took the number down, Brusca, in 5 years, I would look for a blank space on a wall for the number every time. That's probably better just to learn the number on the first day, and then never have to put your head up. Wow. Heavy stuff. Rachel Perry's here, Dave Damashek. Big weekend. One thing I sort of realized as I was waking up this morning was I don't have much of a work ethic. I realized, like, I always said, like, I've always had horrible jobs, and that's been my excuse for not liking to work. When I was cleaning carpets, oh, this job's horrible. Who would want to come here? You know, Abe Lincoln could have this job, and he'd fake a cold in the morning. It's that bad a job. I don't care how hardworking you are, how honest you are, you would hate this job. And then I moved on to carpentry, and I gave the same excuse for that job. And I basically had that my whole life. Ah, this is no fun. Nobody wants to do this. Now I have one of the best jobs in the world, or at least a job. I guess I could test golf balls or something at a driving range or do something of that nature. But this is the best job I could realistically ever hope to have. And the whole time I was swinging a hammer, I used to listen to the radio and think, oh, these guys got it made. They're having a great time. They're getting paid all kinds of money. They got a free Ford Explorer to drive around. This is awesome. And now when the alarm goes off in the morning, I'm just as miserable as I ever am. It's really a commitment to misery. I haven't changed. It's called keeping it real, kids. And then I realize I just have a horrible work ethic. And every weekend, the problem is I'm almost pet-like in my mentality, which is if I put together more than a day and a half of something, it will forever be that way. Like, if I don't work for a day and a half, well, I'm no longer employed. That's the way I look at it. But conversely, if I work 3 days in a row, it's like, are we ever going to get a day off? Yeah, it's called the weekend, you idiot. It comes up in a day and a half. Well, I've been working for 3 days. I can't get the schedule down. But every weekend feels like, well, this is the way it should be. This is fine. I get up at 10, I drink some coffee, I putz around.
The people who say things like, you know, in retirement, I don't know what I would do to fill my time. How do you fill the day? I think I'd be just fine.
I think I'd be able to make do. Yeah.
TV, more TV.
Oh.
That's the answer.
Yeah, between the TiVo and the computer, what have you, I guess family. I mean, you could stay busy, and there's more now than ever. I could see 100 years ago. Well, if you didn't go out and till the soil, what are you going to do? Sit home on a loom or something? Like, what is it? What would you do? I suppose you could whittle a wagon wheel or do something, but now you really don't need a job. And plus, there's move. You know, you go hit the Cineplex, go hit the Starbucks. I mean, it'd be awesome.
Yeah, they didn't even have sports to go and play.
Didn't they have any.
100 years ago? Sports were there?
I'll tell you what they had. They had that huge wheel and a stick. And they would roll that big wheel with the stick. I don't know who invented that one. I'm not sure why it caught on. You know, there were desperate times when they gave a kid a big hoop. If you gave a kid like a wooden hoop and a stick, and you told him, look, you just run down that dirt road. You just keep hitting it with the stick and see if you can keep it aloft. He would just beat the crap out of you. Could you imagine? Imagine kid who was raised on video games. You're going to tempt the wheel. I say too.
Well, and if you looked out the window in 2005 and you saw a neighborhood boy playing with a stick and a big circle, you would assume he's a simpleton. Yes?
I don't know.
Look at little Mitchell there. Look at him playing with his little hoop.
I'll tell you what I'm going to do because parents always use kids as other kids as examples. Look at little Tommy Kendall. He's out there having fun in the sunshine. Why do you got to be cooped up in your room playing video? I will take my kid. I'll put him in knickers and one of those hats, and I'll send him out to play simple games from the turn of the century and get all the other parents PO'd at their kids who are sitting in masturbating on the computer and playing video games. It'll
teach
be awesome.
To ride one of those bikes with the small back wheel and the gigantic front wheel.
Everything revolved around a huge wheel. Everything
Apparently,
involved
yeah.
around a huge oar back then. So there were, yes, 3 foot wheel in the front, a little shopping cart wheel in the back, and I'll have him go around and have him kick the can. It'll be awesome.
This will be Clutch Corolla?
Yeah.
It'll be
your child? Clutch Corolla. Yeah.
Knickers.
I realized I didn't have to work, and then I wonder, I mean, I need to work financially, but emotionally, I don't need it.
And emotionally.
No. Well, there's a lot of people that get their identity from work. Mm. There's a lot of people. Well, first off, there's that story where it's like he had 41 years in company, man. He retired. 6 months later, he died.
Funny, though. You get your identity from your desire to not work.
Yeah.
Not just from working or not working, but the desire to not work.
Yeah. I'm really like one of those animals, like a sloth, you know, where it's like, well, I don't know much about the sloth other than they don't move too fast. I don't know about mating. I don't know about what they do. I don't know what they eat. I don't know anything. They've earned their stake to fame, and their claim to fame is just they move slowly. I one day hope to be used as an example of lazy. That they will replace the word lazy with Corolla.
I think they almost already have.
It's getting close.
I don't
close.
Like talk about people whose identity is their work. Some of the most hateable human beings, I never have to interact with them directly, are the people who get the personalized license plate announcing what they do.
Yeah.
Movie producer, you know, in some tighter version of that. Like, I fix teeth.
Yeah,
you know, I hate these people. I'd like to run them off the road.
The nurses do it with care, whatever. I know Mama Damashek is a nurse, but I did get behind a nurse with a personalized plate, or worse, possibly not a nurse with a personalized nursing plate. With the only thing worse than the nurse with the personalized plate is the person who's not a nurse who has a nursing personalized.
Seems like a weird choice.
License plate frame. But yes, I got behind that person. I don't like people that advertise in any way, shape, or form. I don't like the vanity license plates. I don't like the license plate frames. I want to have no idea what you do when I'm behind you in the car.
You don't want to be prejudiced against them.
I will hate you no matter what your profession. If your license plate frame says, I work with retarded dolphins, or I work with, burn victims from Vietnam, when I'm not at home, I'm looking for landmines, I will still be angry. I just don't want to know what you do. I feel like it's being imposed on me. Mm-hmm. It's the same way. It's sort of the same thing I feel about the guys with the nipple piercings and the sort of rockabilly tats, or just the lifestyle guys, whether they're goth, whether they're rockabilly, whether they're punk, or even if they're computer nerds, but I don't believe that's volitional. I don't think they know. Like, I don't think Engineer Ron and Engineer Scott have any idea the booming message they're sending forth to society with four pagers and the orthopedic earth shoes. I don't think they have, and the dark flip down thing on the prescription glasses. I don't think they have any idea what they're doing. I do think the goth guy's telling the world to take a hike. You know what I'm saying?
So next thing on the list of things you're going to do when you become governor, one is the left turn arrow.
That's number one.
And number two is regulated uniforms for everybody, so nobody has to know anything about anyone from looking at them.
Great jumpsuits, I've learned, are effective from watching futuristic movies.
Yeah.
No denim. Denim has been outlawed. For some reason, denim never made it into
individuality will be our demise, is the supposition of these movies.
Right, right. We all must conform, and then the story will be about one guy, hopefully Sly Stallone, who will not conform, and now we got trouble.
I'd go with Snipes.
Oh, Snipes.
I'd like to see Snipes get involved in this.
He may not conform either.
Let me say this, too.
Hold on. Speaking of Snipes, happy Martin Luther King Day. Forgot about that.
And to you.
And to you, and to Rachel.
You're the closest thing that we have to a person of color, given your
hair.
Afro, yes.
Hey, Rachel, how big is Martin Luther King in Canada? Or had you heard of him?
I don't know if they celebrated up there, to be honest with you. I'm really not sure.
I'm trying to think of who we celebrate. I mean, we got some Cinco de Mayo out here, obviously, especially in Southern California.
Yeah, they'll celebrate that.
Do they do Cinco de Mayo in Canada?
That's a reason to drink.
Yeah, any reason to drink. I mean, Martin Luther King Jr. Day is not really a reason
not
to
drink. Not a boozing holiday?
No.
Oh.
No, it should be, but it isn't. It's a call to action.
I've really been screwing up over the years. it is. In Canada, not a big deal.
You know what? I couldn't even tell you. I'm the worst Canadian ever. I don't even know who the prime minister is right now. Someone named Paul.
You're not a great American either. I got news for you. What do you... And do they teach you about Martin Luther King over there? Do they? And is
there's
there
no
is
blacks
there no
in
racial?
Canada. No, there's no people of color in Canada.
Really?
None.
I wanted to say that, but then I realized it would seem short-sighted of me if I just assumed that, but there isn't.
Mm-mm.
Awesome.
None.
I mean, wow. I mean, you know what I'm saying.
I know it seems
good
weird.
Good for you.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's weird.
All right. Well, I'll tell you.
We're colorblind. We're a nation of colorblindness.
We got the Toronto Raptors.
You do.
There's
that's true. You do got some hoops
over
there.
But we consider them white in Canada.
How's that?
Just because.
Well, they're Canadians. They're officially white.
I don't know.
David?
Yes.
What's up?
I just wanted to call you. Welcome to 3FM. I wanted to let you know about my personal license plate, which I drive around with. It's IDOSH22. Mm-hmm. Gotta love it.
Yeah.
That's what I like to
do. Hold on. Is that sort of profanity? They do the S-H-T-T? Oh, so...
I do...
Yeah. Yeah.
You're telling us what you do? In terms of, like, daily movements?
Yeah,
I mean,
he's regular is what he's saying.
What are you, special?
I'm just...
I don't?
Yeah. Hey, David?
Yes.
Is that so... and they let you get away with that?
Yeah, well, if you had S-H-T, they wouldn't let you get away with it.
Oh, you had to do two T's.
Exactly. That's right. You know, some people are like, you know what? What does that mean? I have to explain to them. And at that point, it's just stupid.
He outsmarted the man.
Right. How much did that cost you?
How much did that cost? Like $60 plus another, I don't know, a couple fees. I don't know. I got a couple of years ago, like 2 years ago.
But what message are you sending to society?
What message am I sending to society?
Yes.
How much I care about society?
All right. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. I do. The other thing I don't enjoy either, even though I'm an atheist and I don't really care much about profanity, but there's just the ones that there's like those bumper stickers that just say like F off and die, or I was having a nice day until you blah, 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 or everyone's an a-hole kind of. There's just the general sort of bummer with some profanity woven into it. Bumper sticker that's like, if I had a 6-year-old in the car wouldn't want to be looking at the F word behind you and your
Let me
Ford
ask you
F-150.
This.
Yes.
Let me ask you this. Here's a multiple choice for you. Mm. You have to have one of the three things on your bumper. Mm. F off and die.
Right.
The Jesus fish thing.
Wow. Wow.
And number three,
Dale Earnhardt.
I love Siamese cats.
Wow. I would go for the cats, and I'll maybe the religious thing. I'm trying to think. I'd probably go with the cats because, you know, I'm not religious at all. The F off and die, it would feel bad if their school bus pulled up behind me. I love Siamese cats. I figure would be sort of taking one for the team. That'd be me just my silent shame.
Hello Kitty. Right.
Yeah. Speaking of, what would you take, Rachel?
My child's on the honor roll.
Very good.
Oh, fourth. speaking of society casting its judgment, when I was over at Kimmel's yesterday watching football, Damashek showed up after his Steelers won.
Triumphant!
You weren't there when my dog Molly escaped. This is how I know I'm going to be a bad parent. My wife makes the proclamation each and every time when I bring my dog over to Jimmy's. don't feed the dog. Stop letting the dog eat the nacho chips and all the bean dip and all the stuff. It gets the scraps. It gets off the table. And don't let the dog get out, because the dog always gets out because someone leaves the back gate open. I always ignore those two things. I sit down, immediately start eating. I start feeding the dog honey roasted nuts, and I start waxing on about what's wrong with society. Meanwhile, the dog will slip away and go out the door. Now, I've trained everyone to shut the back gate, but now the latch is broken on the back gate and the gate swings open because it was windy. The dog got out and the dog took off. And here's another reason I know I'm going to be a bad parent. I'm less concerned about the dog and more concerned about confronting my wife when I get home. Like, if the dog could get run over and I could replace it with another dog that my wife wouldn't know was Molly, I'd be fine, free and clear. It's the conversation that I have to have with my wife, because the last thing out of her mouth was keep the gate closed when I went over to Kimmel. So now I'm on foot and I'm running around out in the backyard screaming the dog's name during the football game. But here's the funny thing. I had skipped some rope before I came over to Jimmy's. So I was wearing like jogging shorts and running shoes and a sweatshirt. And then I just stayed in it and grabbed the dog and ran to Jimmy's. Jimmy lives like two blocks from me. I ran to Jimmy's. Then when I went out looking for Molly, I was still in the same running apparel, except for I was holding a beer because I'd been drinking beer, and I just ran out holding with the beer was just in my hand. As a matter of fact, I don't even feel a beer in my hand anymore, which is trouble when I'm driving. I get pulled over. I don't, that feeling of that cold glass in my hand just feels like air to me. And I took off, and so now I'm chugging down the street holding the beer, looking for the dog, and I passed a pickup truck with three people in it, and they were like, "Hey, man, show, yeah!" And they're like, "Wow, this Corolla, what?" First off, talk about range. What a man. Even when the guy is jogging on a Sunday afternoon, he's holding a beer. He's jogging through the mountains with a beer.
Walks the walk.
Yeah, really. Yeah, he's not just chugging it on TV and then spitting it into a trash can. This guy's out exercising with a beer. God knows when he's at home when he's working out. Like he's on the treadmill. He's got a pony keg. What doesn't this guy do with a beer in his hand? So I was running around screaming, and finally, everyone's fanned out, and the dog came back on its own. I don't know what the hell happened, but the dog came back to Jimmy's.
And then you apparently decided to fix the back fence, because when I showed up, Adam Carolla's down there. He's doing the work, actually fixing the fence himself.
Yes, yes.
You know, nuts and bolts, screwdrivers and such, you know, monkey wrenches, working this thing. And I thought, you know, this is a rare celebrity who does this. You know, he's down there doing this. Imagine, do you think that happened? Do you think Sarah Michelle Gellar gets out there and...
Rarely.
You know, she
rarely
swings a hammer?
Rarely.
Coolio? I
rarely
doubt it.
Now, I finally fixed the gate, so now the dog will be safe. But it's okay, because my wife made the proclamation that Molly's not allowed to go to Jimmy's anymore. And considering there's only one more playoff weekend, I decided to agree with her, not argue with her. I realized she didn't know the schedule. She just figured we're in the middle of the season. All right, we need to take a break. One more thing I need to finish before we go to break, which is we're talking about my horrible work ethic at the beginning of the show, and I realized a conversation I had with my mother many, many, many years ago may have sort of planted the seed, which is my mom never worked. And my dad worked a little, but they were divorced, and my mom was always poor. And I said, Mom, at a certain point, I caught on that adults go to work and then earn something called money, and then they buy something called Schwinn bicycles and Levi's and other brand name items for their children, not Huffy and Toughskin. But the point is, and that's really the difference between the have and the have-nots. When I grew up, that was it. Are you Schwinn and Levi, or are you Huffy and Toughskin? If you're Huffy and Toughskin, you're have-not. The Schwinn and the Levi's were the cool bike and jean kids. And there'll be no jeans in the future, as we've learned. Just the great jumpsuits. But I said to my mom, Mom, why don't you go to work? I mean, why don't you just get a job? You could get a job. And, you know, when you're a kid, you think, well, get a job as a doctor or a lawyer or a fireman or something. You know, you don't realize the overweight, depressed woman is probably not going to make the fire department this year. But I said, why don't you just get a job, Mom? And she said, if I get a job, I'll lose my welfare. And I thought, oh, okay, well, there's a great message. Couldn't say you had a bad hip from Korea or something. Nothing. Lose the welfare. All right, there we go. And those were the fires I was forged from. Rachel Berry here, also Dave Damashek. We're going to do our wake-up call. We got Kenny Mayne calling in.
Rich Eisen.
I'm sorry. Plenty of show. Is it a different guy?
Yeah, different sportscaster.
We will take a little break. We'll be right back after this.
You're listening to The Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM.
Yeah. All right. I'm trying to use the phones here. There it is. Yeah, that's the phone number. I'm Adam Carolla. Plenty of show left for you on Martin Luther King Day. We didn't have to work today, but I decided when you asked me if you want to work, the answer is thank you. Hear that again. Let's not hear that. Please let me hear that. Here's the whole thing. If they played music that didn't just sort of grate on your nerves, is this our traffic music? Do we need this traffic music? Can we use something else? I know I was complaining about it last week and the week before, but does anyone like this music? And if the answer is no, then why the F would you like it behind traffic? I think there's this sort of thought, which is, well, you would never listen to this music in your car, and you would never listen to it at home, and if you're having a party, you would certainly never play it, but you'd love to hear it when it's underneath an annoying woman's voice. Really? Does that somehow straighten it out?
I'll find something else.
Just let me hear it for a second. Let me just hear it. Yeah.
It's one of Jan Hammer's lesser works.
Circa 1989. Yes. Somebody's chasing somebody down and it's raining. Maybe Reeves. Keanu Reeves. He's wearing a tank top with a shirt that's over it, but that's coming off. And he's still going after his perp. Who likes this? Who? I know,
the person who's playing the keyboard doesn't like it.
Yeah, the guy's playing the keyboard.
Adam, let's all drop some E, and
yes,
then maybe we'll find out.
I know. Just give me a pacifier. We'll drop some E. I'll rub some Vicks on my chest. It'll be awesome. It will be awesome.
You know, for a man who's so-called so lazy,
mm-hmm,
how come we all ended up having to come into work today on your say?
That's a good...
How say you today?
That's good. Well, there are times... One of the things that's good about me is, like, I'm like a little guy who thinks he could get his ass kicked, so I work out extra hard learning at the dojo. You know what I mean? There's a little overcompensation with me. My soul is so lazy that practically sometimes I realize, well, if I take today off, it's just going to perpetuate the notion of how lazy I am. I'll work on a day when other people aren't working. There's an overcompensation that confuses things.
Throw the man off your trail a little bit with this deed.
Right.
In here on a day where you didn't have to be. So he's a good hard worker. So.
Right, right. And it was pretty much, too, it's like, what are the other morning radio shows doing? And we found out about half of them are working.
Yeah, basically.
Basically about half, which, first off, let's all get on the same page. If anyone is monitoring this show from other radio stations, other morning shows, let's please present a united front. Let's get on the same page, because if one UA Holes works next year on Martin Luther King Day, then we all have to, because you've set the example. But if none of us work, then none of us get into trouble. We need to get on the same page.
Have a big softball tournament.
Yeah, it's the same thing I present for the running of the Red Light Arrows. Bud?
Yes, sir.
You ran Red Light Arrows?
Yes.
You've been running them?
Just one in particular.
Mm-hmm. But it feels liberating.
Yes.
It really does. There's nothing better than breaking the law and saving time. And again, if everyone would turn left on these horrible left-turn arrows, we'd have nothing to worry about, the same way as if every morning show took Martin Luther King Day off, we'd have nothing to worry about.
I don't know. That's complicated.
Okay, bud. Yeah. It's a little disappointing when you find out the kind of people that are listening to you and taking your advice. I have found.
If he's in a car, if he's driving, why is he so winded?
He's in Fred Flintstone's car.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, there's no engine. Bud?
Yes.
Are you tired?
No.
You sound winded.
I'm excited.
Have you been chasing your dog with a beer?
No, not today.
All right. And there's one signal in particular that you go through.
Yes. It's right outside of work, and I'm sitting there all by myself, and no one's around. And I get to work like 5 minutes earlier.
Mm-hmm. And where do you work?
I work at an architecture firm.
Wow, now I'm confused. What do you do there?
I make construction documents.
Okay. All right. You all right?
Yes.
Are you nervous?
Yes.
Okay. That's good. I like that. I want everyone to be nervous around me. I'd like my wife to be nervous when she comes into the room. I'd like the dog. I'd like the pool man. I'd like everyone to be nervous. Okay, bud. Well, thanks. And keep it up. And listen, if you do get a ticket, you must fight it.
I will.
Okay. Call us back if you do, and we'll provide some legal counsel for you.
Great.
All right.
Thanks.
All right. I know. Where were we? Oh, we were going to do this wake-up call. That's what I wanted to do. We've been spotty at best with this, but we decide if we're going to get up this early, someone else should get up this early too, and that someone else is Bill from San Diego. That's our dialing, our morning dialing music.
Apparently, Bill has to work today.
Oh, he does. It's horrible. He saves greyhounds. You never take a holiday when you save spindly dogs. This is his cell phone, right?
Yeah, he doesn't have a home number.
I find that to be either super cool or super dicey. Yeah, I don't have a home. I don't have Atlanta. No, I got the... You want me to call me on my cell.
Hello?
Bill.
Yo.
Rise and shine.
Thank you, sir.
Were you sleeping?
Absolutely.
Do you have to go save greyhounds this morning?
Several? Yep.
Are there that many to save? I don't see that many greyhounds out there.
Well, for the most part, I suppose they're shy.
They're shy. They lurk in the shadows. And these are racing greyhounds from Mexico?
Absolutely. They're the ones that don't work any longer, so they put them in these... put them in what's known as the kind of an underground dungeon where they set them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Where do they go, though, once they've been rescued? Where do you take them? The
heaven.
Yeah, where do you take these dogs, Bill?
You take them home with you.
Yeah, but then what?
Oh, well, I don't know. You just take them home. They're dogs, you know?
No, but what I'm... you find people to adopt them?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. What we do is we fix them up medically and all that stuff and give them some love and all that fun stuff. And... hopefully those people will know how to take care of them, and
therefore,
that's about it, man. I'm sorry, I'm just completely zoning.
What time did you go to bed?
I think I crashed about midnight, maybe a little after.
You have playing drums with the landlord again?
Synsonics.
Yeah, absolutely.
We've learned he plays the octagonal drum set with his landlord till wee hours in the morning. All right, so are you heading into Tijuana?
No, I'm not going to go there today, no.
Where do you go?
Stay here in the States, but just not go over the border today. Just go down to the to where it is we work.
What do you think they do? Do they have Martin Luther King Day in Tijuana?
No, but they have plenty of other days.
Yeah.
In Tijuana.
Every day. Actually,
yeah,
someone should invent a holiday where you actually work. That'd be my plan for Mexico.
Yeah, I don't know. I think they need a siesta.
Yeah. All right, buddy.
All right, man.
All right. Take care. Thanks. We'll call you tomorrow.
All right.
If we remember.
All right.
But listen, if you don't wake up, what are you going to miss? And who's going to miss you? These are the questions you have to ask.
That's true, man.
Yeah, I don't want him to take this the wrong way, but if I worked with Bill and Bill took a day off, I'd be okay with it. I wouldn't be like, where's Bill? We need Bill. Only Bill can fix this. I'd be like, oh, yeah, I didn't know. It'd be noon, and I'd go, oh, that's right, he's not here. I was wondering why it was so quiet. This is awesome. I didn't hear the Miami Vice drums pumping in the background. All righty. See, we've got a question about Jimmy Johnson's hair, but that's sports related. We're getting to that pretty soon. Let's take it real quick. Steve?
Hey, Adam. How you doing?
Yeah, we noticed Jimmy Johnson Jimmy Johnson doing the Fox Sports breakdown. Coach Johnson, we noticed his hair with an extra dollop of dippity-doo in it. And all I can think of is that he has a new gay hairdresser or something. Something's new. Something's changed on the set. There's fresh blood. It's infected with hepatitis C, but there's fresh blood on that set, and someone's doing his hair. Because
yeah,
I don't know what was going on. Yeah. Sheck commented on that himself. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from San Diego. I run a marble and granite fabrication shop down here.
No, really?
Yeah.
Wow. We could we could talk.
What do you know about countertops?
Well, why don't you quiz me?
What do you put in a kitchen, marble or granite?
Well, I would put granite. It doesn't scratch as easily. I like the old school marble look, but the marble's much softer than granite. Granite, it's much harder. The marble stains and that kind of thing. Any other questions? Anything involving installation? What do you got?
I like this game.
What do you use
Stump
to put
Corona.
It down? Mastic or PL400?
Well, I would use 100% silicone, but that's just me.
Oh, it'll never stick. It'll never stay.
Please, it weighs 80 pounds a square foot. Doesn't matter. What's going to take it up? Are you talking about the backsplash?
Even the countertops, you know, countertops, they settle and you gotta make sure your seams.
Please, you could use clear silicone or 100% silicone to put those things down. Or you could use PL400 or Mastic. I would use the PL400 myself.
There you go. That's my prize.
Thank you. All right. Any other questions?
No, man. I'm glad you're on the show.
How about fabricating? Any fabricating questions for the Ace Man?
What's the most popular edge detail? Bullnose?
Roman OG.
Roman OG, oh, you got to have a special bit for that. But I got it. It's a good one.
Yeah, diamond bit. You can use it. All right. What don't I know about
plumbing? Stunning.
I don't even know countertops. That's the thing. I'm a carpenter. I don't even know that. He's talking about stone and quarries and slabs and all that.
Did you throw some of that construction humor in there?
No humor there, sweetie. That was all the truth.
So, I mean, you lamented that you don't like to read. So what? Look at what you know.
Yeah.
That's a man's man.
Thank you, Shaq. Whew. We will take ourselves a little break. We got news. We got sports. We have no weather and some traffic I'd like to apologize for when we come back.
It's the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam Carolla now at 866-901-ADAM. Good times.
Yeah. My wife thinks I invented good times, but I don't lay claim to it. 866-901-ADAM is the phone number. Give us a call. If you're from Seattle, give us a call. Tell us about your Seahawks. I'm excited about those Seahawks. I'm rooting for anyone who hasn't won, hasn't been there before.
That's your way. You're benevolent.
That's my way.
But it's a crazy thing. Has there ever been, can you recall a team as good as Seattle's been?
I'm saying yes in advance.
That's probably why.
Yeah,
because
I can recall it.
In sports, yeah, it's usually hyperbole when you say, there's never been. You
has there ever been? What is the question?
Seattle's a number one seed, and they're arguably the best team left. You could almost say that they're the favorite to win for among these this quartet of finalists now.
Mm-hmm.
The Broncos, Pittsburgh Steelers, mm-hmm. Seahawks, and Carolina, that they're the favorite. And yet nobody ever talks about the Seattle team. How is this possible?
There's nobody who believed except for the people in this locker room. Everyone said we couldn't do it. All you guys... These are always the sports reporters, these poor guys when they get called you guys all the time. No one ever pipes up and goes, what do you mean you guys? I said you guys, all you guys, none of you guys thought we could win. The only people that thought we could win were the people that were in this locker room. But not, I mean, I know where you guys are in this locker room too, but not excluding you guys and people who are employees of the stadium who are actually just doing their business, janitor, security, stuff like that. Nobody believed except for us and the people in this locker room, but not you guys are, and also the locker room on the home field too.
And those people in Vegas who bet a lot of money on us. But outside of those people.
Nobody believed. Yeah. All right. Well, we will do ourselves a little something called Germany or Florida. Also, we have celebrity birthdays to guess about. Now, Producer Bruska.
Yo.
How do you feel about the Germany or Florida?
I would like it to get some momentum going. I'd like callers to call in with some stories eventually.
How do you feel about what you have before you?
I could definitely do one and perhaps a couple of more.
All right.
But
it doesn't sound like you're brimming with confidence.
Well, I just grabbed the file, but I'm ready.
Should Rachel do celebrity birthdays?
No, we could do one here.
Okay. All right.
You ready?
You feel good?
Yeah, all right. Feeling pretty good.
All right. It's probably a little Germany or Florida.
Germany or Florida.
All right. Bruska reads the true story. It has to be true. He got it off the internet. And then we guess. Did it take place in Germany or Florida? Go ahead, Bruska.
Nurse arrested for porn movie on a big wheel. A nurse and her two cameramen were arrested after they filmed a porn movie at a festival on the city's famous big wheel.
Mm.
The 21-year-old nurse and the two cameramen were spotted filming sexual acts by three tourists in another carriage of the big wheel.
Mm-hmm. All right.
The tourists immediately alerted the authorities.
Tourists, who
detained the porn actress and the filmmakers. Did
right.
this happen in Germany or Florida?
When you say tourists, you mean tourists. You're not talking about the car and you're not talking about the sign, the astrological sign.
Accent.
Okay.
It's tourists.
Tourists reported. Germany or Florida? Rachel, how say you?
Oh, I got to go first.
Mm-hmm.
Big wheel. Mm-hmm. That's at first, I thought you were talking about a woman shooting a porn movie on that kid's toy.
I did, too.
The big wheel.
Yeah.
And I definitely would have said Florida.
Yeah.
That
would have been a Floridian thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think I would have enjoyed that as far as porn goes much more.
Yeah.
That would have been interesting. Big wheel. That seems kind of like a Germany thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go Germany.
Germany. Shaq, how say you?
I'm going to go Germany, and here's why. Because everyone knows that America's pornography comes from the valley.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
San Fernando
Southern,
Valley.
The San Fernando
yeah,
Valley.
That's where I grew up. Thank you.
And pornography taking place on a Ferris wheel, I mean, in an amusement park, this stinks of something slightly more highbrow, mm-hmm. a.k.a. European,
mm-hmm.
Germany.
All right. And what about the fact that there were Tauruses there? Four Tauruses.
Tauruses.
They were reported by station wagon.
That's the only thing throwing me off the trail here.
Yeah,
do something to try and throw you guys
tourism
off.
In Germany or tourism in Florida, that's a push. The big wheel part, the part that it's not called a Ferris wheel, is confusing. On the other hand, I would call the Ferris wheel out here. I don't know, maybe they would call it a Ferris wheel in Pittsburgh or Canada, but maybe in Florida, it is a big wheel. I think the Ferris wheel part is the part. I'm going Germany as well. We have three Germanys. Is it Germany or Florida?
Does Mike Lynch want to chime in?
Mike
Lynch.
No, that's okay because I have to bow out because I've heard this story before.
So. All right.
All right.
All right.
Well, the answer is Germany.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
So, kudos to us all.
We checked the tote board, which fell off over the weekend.
That's right.
And Big Tad ate it. So we got to get that back up there and get that worked out. And that's how you play Germany or Florida.
Yeah, listeners have...
Shut up.
Or Florida.
Now you
Excuse
can talk.
Excuse me. If listeners have any stories about Germany or Florida, feel free to, you know, call in and we'll play the game with the listeners.
All right. Let's, now Rachel has her celebrity birthdays. Yeah, let's fire those off before we go to break.
Yeah, there's some, it's hard to, there's not a lot of people who are kind of close enough today that I'm wondering if you know who they are.
I probably will.
All right. Well, I'm going to go like this then.
All right.
Hiding from Dan.
Now, these were people that were born today, celebrities that were born today.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, so.
And now they're not born, even though it's Martin Luther King Day, his birthday was yesterday, I believe. I think he was born on the 15th.
Is that right?
So they would not share his birthday. Just want to clarify that for all the blowhard
selfish,
celebrities who think
selfish,
they were born the same day as Martin Luther
selfish
King.
Selfish activists.
Yes.
Doesn't want to share his birthday. okay. Do you know who Dani Ash is?
Yes.
The most downloaded woman on the internet?
Yes. She's she's one of my busty boob queens. Yes. Yes.
What's
I'm a fan
busty
of her.
Boob queen?
You can't do the math on Busty Boob Queen and download it on the internet?
Boobie!
Well, I didn't know you had... I thought it was maybe a list that you had of some people or something. I don't know.
I have a list, yes.
Okay.
It's in my head. It can't
she
be taken
also,
away from me.
She was also in Schindler's List.
Yes, yes.
Let's get maybe to the birthday.
Okay, so
break.
Dani Ash.
Mm-hmm.
Sade.
Mm-hmm.
And Roy Jones Jr.
All right. I heard the Sade on the way in. Do you have another person?
Jeez, this is
Slim Pickens today.
Slim Pickens in terms of the age range. Let me see.
Well, you don't have to.
Doesn't have to be.
Yeah, you just pick one. Just
hey,
for
Kate Moss.
Kate Moss. All right. Sade, Kate Moss, and Big Boob Queen, Danny Ash.
And Roy Jones Jr.
I'm sorry, Roy Jones Jr. Well, I know Sade was 47 or something like that, so I think I figured that I heard that on the way in.
Yeah.
Kate Moss obviously has to be the youngest, but now we got to guess ages. Roy Jones Jr., what is he, 37?
I'm guessing, yeah, he's getting close to 40 would be the guess. 37, 38, 36, something like that.
He was in the Olympics quite some time ago. I'll go 37 on Roy Jones Jr. Danny Ash, oh, it's going to break my heart, but she's probably 40.
I don't know who
40,
that is.
40, 41. Yeah, go ahead. You sicken me, by the way, that you don't know who that is.
I'm sorry.
One day there'll be a Danny Ash day when she's gone. And we'll not have to work. At least I won't.
And, she has a movie called Mountainous Mams.
Yeah. There you go.
You don't have that?
You've not seen Mountainous Mams?
I didn't realize that was that Danny Ash. Oh, of course. I'm familiar then.
Yeah, she did some work on The Man Show, by the way. Shocker. Kate Moss. Now, what's Kate Moss? She 32? Is she 34? Can't be over 35.
She's
is
all
she?
Woman. That's
what's
sure.
your claim on Danny Ash, by the way? What'd you say?
She's my number one big boob queen.
No, but call a number. Call an age.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. 41 Danny Ash, 33 Kate Moss, 37 Roy Jones Jr.
Did I have any others? No. Well, Roy Jones, you were right on, 37. Danny, youch, she's 38. You said 41.
Wow.
And
feels like I've been masturbating to her since I was in junior high. It's crazy.
And Kate Moss is 32, not 33. But you had the order right.
All right.
So I'll give you that.
Thank you, baby doll.
I like the actually guessing the actual ages.
Yeah, it's probably
you
better.
Should work at you could work at a circus if we lose this job here.
I should. I wonder if you have to work on Martin Luther King Day if you work at a circus. We'll take ourselves a quick break, and then we'll be back with news and sports after this.
Hey, it's the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam Carolla now, 866-901-ADAM.
Yeah. The traffic lady called and complained that I was complaining about it.
The L.A. traffic lady.
The L.A. traffic lady. And listen, L.A. traffic lady, nothing personal. It's just you don't do anything for a living.
What?
I know it sounds abusive. No, I know it sounds horrible.
Ouch.
And maybe all my vitriol has been stored up and I'm injecting it into one poor person that's just trying to make her nut. But I've heard the traffic report. Everyone, seriously. Close your eyes. Close your eyes. Rachel.
Oh, sorry.
Close your eyes.
Sorry.
Everyone within the sound of my voice, close their eyes. My eyes are closed. Everyone
unless you're driving.
Eyes are closed. If you're driving, close your eyes. It's Martin Luther King Day. There's no traffic. Besides, these new cars practically drive themselves, what with their anti-lock brakes and all their computerized airbags. Close your eyes. Think about the number of traffic reports you've heard in your life. I probably average about 3 to 5 a day. And then how many you've utilized. How many times have you heard a traffic report and thought, wow, I'm not getting in my car, or wow, I must alter my route to either work, to school, to the market, to my friend's house.
Can I open my eyes now?
How many times? Do people have a number? Because I can't count one direction or the other. The one is maybe I'm going to be generous and say 3 times. I'm going to say 3 times. 25 years of driving, I'm going to say 3 times. That is a generous estimate. I can't think of any times. I'm just going to assume I did it 3 times. And then the other math is 4 or 5 times 365 times however many years I've been driving. And I'll count years I haven't been driving. It's really hundreds of thousands versus 3. To me, that's a horrible average. It's horrible. That means it's unnecessary.
Well, when you're getting it every 20 minutes, right?
Yes.
The returns are...
Yeah, look out, everyone. Everyone who's out in El Monte is going to use the Rosemead exit, look out. How many of us are there?
But Adam,
who's out there?
Adam, you're not a professional driver.
Yeah, I know. Like our idiot cabbie from Vegas who called yesterday or the week before, I should say.
It's about the professional drivers.
Point is if you hear a report about something you'll never use, then isn't it a waste of time? Unless there's something inherently enjoyable about the report.
They should have better music then.
If the music is lovely or there's you have some sort of unnatural attraction to traffic, that's one thing. But traffic, not something you need to hear about. It's kind of like death count in Iraq. It's unpleasant to hear about jackknife big rigs in counties unknown. And then the music is grating. So you have nothing. I'm just saying it's a nothing thing. There's a lot of things we do in society. We tune out. We don't pay attention to. We just sort of, that's just what they do. We don't realize they're unnecessary. I say get rid of it. Archer, I'll give the traffic lady a job. I'll employ her myself.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Not determined
doing
at this
what?
Point. But
I don't know. I'll make work for her.
She's up in her chopper right now, flying high, looking at traffic.
I will. Maybe. I know she's worried about her job. I will pay her salary. And I will bring her on. I'll bring her on my team. I'll sign her up, and I'll make busy work for her. That's it. And she will not have to humiliate herself giving the traffic report every day. That's all. I'm just calling a spade a spade. It's unnecessary. No one uses it. Nobody. When is the last time? Does anybody? And there's always one a-hole that calls up and goes, oh, I used it once. Who cares? It's not worth it. And did you save any time? Again, you got off the 405 and onto Sepulveda, which was a parking lot. Is that a time saver? Thank you. All right, that's all I want to say. Part of the reason I got on the show is to do away with traffic reports and have people run left turn arrows.
Sorry, that's number three on the agenda. Right after the gray jumpsuits.
That's right.
And no traffic.
No denim and doors that don't have hinges. They all open like camera apertures. How difficult would that be to make? Seems like a lot of work for a door. All right, go ahead. Rachel Perry with the news, everybody. How much coke was given to program directors so they would play this flaming turd of song in 1983? How much coke? How much payola?
I can tell you how much coke I gave Mike Lynch this morning to play it.
Number one, this song made it to. That's how stupid this country is.
Oh, boy. Okay, well, a U.S. helicopter crashed this morning north of Baghdad. No word on the status of the two crew members or what caused the crash. It's Martin Luther King Jr. Day. It's the 20th celebration commemorating the life of good old MLK, meant to be celebrated through service and activism, yet two out of three companies still don't give the day off.
Really? Two out of three?
Yep.
Now, all the schools, all the banks, all the radio stations, they all give it off, but two out of three companies.
Not you, though.
Mm.
Not the world's laziest boss. No, no, not us. Mm. We're not getting the day off.
Hmm.
Not,
wow.
Not paying attention.
I got a note here that said the traffic lady is crying. Really?
Yeah, that's what Michelle says.
Well, listen.
I would cry.
A little
too
sensitive.
Yeah. Well, look, everyone just takes traffic like we need it. We just don't need it. I'm just saying it's like you're being replaced at the factory by a robot. We don't need you anymore. We'll bring you on over here.
And traffic lady, this is a comedy show. We're having fun. Relax.
No, I'm deadly serious. I'm deadly serious. I'm not having fun. But I will employ her. I don't know what she's making. I'll find out what
it
is.
And in the meantime, whatever. There's no reason for tears. It's one man's opinion.
Yeah.
You know, she's sure in a proud legacy of Roy Scheider and Blue Thunder and Jan Michael Vincent up there in Airwolf. Listen.
Yeah. Yeah. And Borgnine. That's
Think
right.
Think of where you came from, lady.
Yeah. Right. Daniel Stern. Yeah. All right.
Do you know what language we're speaking?
Yeah.
I was feeling some sympathy for the traffic lady, actually.
I will employ her. I mean it. I'll put her on the payroll. I would like to talk to her. Get her to call in, Michelle.
She can call in, yeah.
All right, go ahead.
You want me to finish the news?
Yes, please.
The guy that got let out of prison, Mehmet Ali Aja, who got let out of the Turkish prison for attempting to assassinate Pope John Paul II, has failed to make his daily check-ins with the Istanbul police while waiting to see if he is fit for mandatory military service.
Yes.
Now, the interesting thing about this is, I guess they have some sort of pay to get out of serving military service.
Oh, really?
If you can prove, for Turkish people who can prove they had long-term residence outside of Turkey, just so happens that Aja has spent 19 years in an Italian jail for his attempt on Pope John Paul II, so it was kind of a little...
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So he won on a technicality.
Yeah, essentially.
Yeah.
Essentially.
All right.
Final box office figures for the weekend aren't going to be until tomorrow because apparently MLK Day gives the day off to the people who do the box office figures.
Wow.
But Glory Road was in the top spot for new releases with $13.5 million. Queen Latifah's this Last Holiday.
Well, but this Glory Road's a picture about the 63, 66 when Texas Western won the national championship with an all-black starting five.
First time.
Fitting.
Fitting.
On MLK Day.
Right.
Queen Latifah came in second with $13 million, Hoodwinked.
Fitting that a black woman in this day and age could come in second at the box office on MLK Day.
Well done.
Mm-hmm.
Congratulations. Hoodwinked, third, 12.5.
Fitting that a brownish wolf, well, not black, but in brown in color, could come in number three in the box office. Yes.
On TV tonight, some things happening. The second part of the season premiere of 24, the 63rd annual Golden Globe Awards tonight, 8 to 11 on NBC.
Oh, such an ass-kiss-a-thon. All of them. All the stars sitting at the table with their reading glasses on, amongst their own, poking fun at each other.
Wow. And so then you mix in some booze. They always celebrate the fact that now we get to loosen up and have a few laughs because we got some sauce running through us provided by the foreign press.
Yeah.
The Hollywood foreign press. This collection of boobs.
Ass kiss-a-thon.
Bachelor Paris is on tonight.
Ooh.
Project Runway on Bravo tonight. There's some show about the chupacabra on the National Geographic Channel, which I may be checking out.
Ooh, the goat bloodsucker.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And on TV last night, finally, Celebrity Fat Club. Do you see that?
Yes.
Fit Club,
mm-hmm.
as it was. I shouldn't be talking about this. Tad, you should plug your ears because Tad didn't want to hear about this. Don't listen. Don't listen. You don't want to know. Go away.
The fat from his jowls closed his ears many years ago. He cannot hear sound.
I think
only
we should
scent.
Petition to get him on Celebrity Fat Club for next season.
He's a bigger celebrity than half the ones that are on there.
Yeah. Well, you know
I mean fatter. I don't mean a celebrity.
What's his face from
yes.
Kanicki from
yeah,
Greece?
Jeff
was
Conway.
On there and he
yeah.
was lost his mind.
Well,
last week.
He had a Benadryl.
Drugs.
He'd had a Benadryl.
Yeah, well, had a few Benadryl too many because this... Last night, they kicked him off.
Ooh.
He wasn't even on the show. And they brought in one of the Nelson brothers from Nelson.
One of the two has a weight issue, eh?
Yeah. But he doesn't actually have a weight issue. He just has like a mind issue where he thinks he's chubby and his mom used to call him chubby.
Yeah.
And he looks really remarkably like Ellen DeGeneres.
Wow. Yeah, he does. He's got his hair's longer, ironically.
Yeah.
And he wears less masculine shoes. But other than that, he's exactly the same as her. I know. Here's the thing about the Celebrity Fit Club. Jeff Conway, he's a drug addict, but he's 6 foot and he's 203. I wouldn't call that morbidly obese. He's not a big guy, as I was pointing out, much to the dismay of most of the people over at Kimmel's house. Most people in this room are fatter than he is.
Yeah.
And the same with Gunnar.
Gunnar Nelson. He's 5'10", 175.
Right. Not exactly heavyweight.
He just said he wants to get toned up.
Okay.
And on Flavor of Love, which is awesome. Have you seen it?
No.
Anyone? Oh, man. It's so good.
Flavor Flav's dating show. It's his version on The Bachelor.
Yeah.
It's so awesome.
He's watchable.
The chicks on there, when he kicks them out, they all have champagne and he pours some champagne on the ground.
Wow.
For the girls that have gone. This is what he said last night about the one girl. I think her name is Sweetie. He gives them all nicknames. Sweetie. He went on a date with her, but she doesn't want to give it up. Like, not even doesn't want to kiss him.
Mm-hmm.
You got to hear this.
All right.
I just want to know, right? I wanted to taste your mouth. How long would it take for you to come across?
3 more weeks. I'm married.
So in order for you to kiss a man, you'd have to be with him for almost a month? I'm like, word?
Oh, I'm just not that girl. I just don't move that fast.
I hear you, but I don't want you to move that slow either.
I like girls that's a challenge, but I like easy ones too. That ain't a challenge.
That's how I feel. Except for the first part. All right.
That's it.
Nice job.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. do it, Dave.
Divisional playoff weekend in the NFL. Seattle Seahawks overcome the first quarter loss of league MVP Sean Alexander. They beat the Redskins. Carolina wins its second straight road game. They beat the Bears. Panthers at Seahawks for the NFC title next Sunday. In the AFC, the Broncos break the two-time defending champion Patriots. 10-game postseason win streak. They're at home next week.
Oh, thank
to host the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Holy Christ.
Who beat the Colts.
God. Listen. Please, please, now, all you Pat fans, all you New Englanders, all you people from Mass, please, all Boston Mass, shut your pie hole! Shut up! Shut up! Shut up! Shut up! You lost! Shut up! You lost! Shut up! You lost! Shut up! Please, shut up! You lost!
What?
Shut up! Thank you. Thank you. Go ahead, Dave.
NBA
shut
West.
Up! Oh. You lost. Now not, shut up.
Not me, though.
All you people from Boston, shut up.
Oh, no,
you
I'm
lost.
From, I'm from
shut
Pittsburgh.
Up.
I may continue to speak.
Thank you.
NBA last
shut,
night.
Okay.
Sacramento Kings, winners at
all
home
you
over
people
Orlando.
From Sacramento. Oh, no, wait a minute.
Top 25 hoops this weekend. 13th-ranked Washington beat 12th-ranked UCLA. Oregon dumped Arizona. And Pitt stayed undefeated with a win at Louisville.
Thank
Venus
Christ.
Williams is out of the Australian Open. She just lost her first round match. Now, let's get back to some of this NFL football. That was the big story.
Yeah.
First of all, before we get into the football, may I just say one thing that I found distracting?
Mm.
These commercials by Subway featuring
Jared.
Formerly fat man Jared.
Yeah.
All right. He lost the weight 6-7 years ago. Now beat it already. Oh. I've had it with you.
But what a personality.
Right, enough's enough with
I
you.
I know. Listen, there could I couldn't imagine just sort of a guy I wanted to hang out with less than Jared. I really couldn't.
He looks like a guy. Like, you would never look at him and go, he's a good-looking, thin guy. No, he looks like a guy that used to be overweight.
Yes.
Kind of in the way he dresses.
Yes, and I now feel like he's almost a family member. We're that tight, yet he has zero personality. I know nothing about him other than he's a horrible bore, and I find him blander than the sandwiches.
Yeah, I can understand, you know, maybe some people, weak-minded people, Michael Jordan drinks that drink? Well, maybe, he's a great athlete. Gatorade,
yeah.
This has brought him.
Tiger
to,
Woods
this,
is doing something.
This refreshes
something.
Him if it's good enough for Michael Jordan. Jared, he eats these. I'm going to be enticed by that.
Yes. If somebody said, look, you have to take a long bus ride, you could either sit next to Jared from Subway or just whoever would be on the bus going from here to Mississippi. I'd say, just give me whoever.
They should give the new guy. Get Jeff Conway on there.
Yeah.
Jeff Conway, the new face of Subway.
There you go.
Yeah.
Now, I just wanted to revisit because I said earlier, you know, Seattle has to be the least appreciated number one seed in my memory, at least. Give us a little of that, of the excitement that went on up in the Queen City.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Which one is that?
Hasselbeck.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Down from the five, Hasselbeck running from the pocket. Will try to make it in there. He'll get the first down. He'll get the touchdown. And Alexander leads the cheers. Pat Hasselbeck with a 6-yard run for the score.
It seemed like some scene up there. At least there was some playoff-type weather. The rain came down. The skies were gray. Not like those sissies who played in their dome, the Colts. They got, four from a team that knows a thing or two about old-school football.
Yeah, Braun. Smash mouth.
Right.
Yeah.
But the Seattle team, I feel for them. I feel for the city that they don't get the due. They're due. But I guess a week from yesterday, they're going to get a chance to shine. On the
Joel,
national stage.
Joel was at the game.
Oh.
Joel?
Yes, I'm
you're at the game? How say you?
It was great.
Yeah. You have good seats?
40-yard line, 9 rows up.
Is the town gripped with Seahawk fever?
All over the place. It is so amazing.
Yeah. Seems like a good team. Seems like a good group of guys. And they're long overdue.
The only beef... Let me ask you this, Seattle fan. The only beef I have with them is that they went away from those nice silver helmets and pants, and now they wear that ugly blue, all blue, head to toe. Ugly, yes?
No, it looks great when it's a sea of blue up there in the stadium.
I'll tell you when it looks good. It looks good when it gets wet and it gets darker.
That's
right. When it looks good, if it doesn't look good when it's dry. But they're playing in a rainy city. All right, Joe.
Yes, but that was the first rainy game.
Yes. Well, listen, I'm all behind the Seahawks. Go Hawks.
But, you know, I do have to say one thing. We did prove to all those East Coast teams that even without the MVP, we could still beat another East Coast
team. Very impressive. A stout defense in the Redskins.
Yeah. Still beat a sixth seed. Okay. Look, anyone who's listened to the show knows I'm a huge Pats fan, but now that my beloved Pats have been eliminated, please shut up now.
Wherever the Patriots have been sent to, let's send Jared from Subway there as well. That's my final note.
That's what I would love. Now I'm rooting for the Seahawks. All right.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
We will take ourselves a little break. We'll be right back after this.
You're listening to the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM.
Yeah. 866-901-ADAM's the phone number. You should call us. But first, I think we're going to call someone. We're going to call Tori, our traffic lady. Tori is out of sorts because I was making fun of traffic and how we don't need it. And Brusco was apologizing and explaining this as a comedy show. But I'm deadly serious about this. Now, I feel bad. Same way I felt bad when people would say, you know, we're going to cut back on defense spending. And people would say, well, what about all the people that work at Lockheed and the Skunk Works, the people that make the spy planes, the people that make the Sparrow missiles, the people that make the nuclear armament, whatever? They're going to be out of work. And I would always say, is that a reason to continue doing something that is unnecessary because someone's going to lose their job? What about all the mule skinners? They'll be out of work if we invent a locomotive. Well, so what should we do? Not lay down tracks? Not drive the Golden Spike? Not connect the coast? I say nay. How say you?
Nay.
Nay. How say you? Rachel. I say nay. How say you?
I say nay.
Yay for nay. I say huzzah to your nay. Actually, three huzzahs. Hip hip.
Huzzah.
Hip hip.
Huzzah.
Hip hip.
Huzzah.
Yeah. Seems like two would cover it in a huzzah. Hip hip hooray, I think you need three, but huzzah, two, you've had an ass full already.
Yeah.
All right. The point is Tori does our traffic
in LA.
In LA, and she's upset about the words I had, and it's nothing personal. I don't blame her any more than I blame the poor guy that has to put the parsley next to the side of the plate when you order breakfast. It's not his fault. He's doing his job. The parsley's unnecessary, though. And I say the same about traffic, and I also claim people get very defensive about it, but you've heard 150,000 reports in your life, you've used three of them, and they've saved you no time. So I would go ahead and, I'm going to go way out on a limb and label that as unnecessary. When you've heard 100,000 versions of something, you've never really used it, and the two times you did, it didn't help you, I'm going to go ahead and put that in the unnecessary category in my life. Now, Tori has a family, I'm guessing. She has an income. She probably has an old man who's sleeping right now who's counting on this paycheck. I will give her a job. We will find something for her to do. Let me see if I can get her on the phone.
So you want to get rid of traffic is what you're saying?
Yes. Yes, I would like to get rid of traffic.
I feel like traffic is one of those things that just, even if it's not necessary, it's kind of like makes people feel better for some reason to hear it.
Well, it does, but so does heroin. You know what I mean?
And are you saying get rid of heroin?
Well,
come on.
All right, you're right. At least methadone. That, I'm just saying it's a numbing, soothing thing. Three quarters of the traffic wait a second. I didn't press the last number. That's a bad thing. Three quarters of the traffic reports I've heard from my home in my bed and had no intention of getting on, of getting into the car. So. Uses traffic. Oh, L.A.
So confusing, too. It's like you're supposed to know every single road. I mean, it's so fast.
Forget about L.A.
Renal? Yeah.
What's happening
with you, though? First, I want to start off by saying congratulations on your show, Drawn Together, because I know not too many people know about it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, people. It's a Comedy Central animated show I do a voice on. That's a very funny show.
So
I would recommend.
So you do know what he's saying.
I do know what you're saying. Thank you, Renal.
Yeah, no problem. And also about the traffic report, too, because me, I'm a bus driver, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Professional driver.
I'm going out on a limb, and I'm going to wish you a happy Martin Luther King
birthday.
I hear Renault. I hear bus driver. Go ahead, Renault. Do you have to work today?
Oh, most definitely, man.
They, you know what? They should only let make white people work today. I don't want to divide the bus drivers, but if you have any white ones, today's their working day. The brothers should get a day off. When I'm in charge, Renault, you'll be napping or drunk at this particular time of day next Martin Luther King Day. All right, you drive and you use the traffic reports.
Rarely, but majority of the time,
that's my point.
Because
thank you.
You know, I'm gonna drive through the hood anyway. You know,
you have.
There's no traffic in the hood.
Drug traffic, but no actual car traffic. No, I mean, Renault, you have a route as a bus driver.
Yeah.
And you have to stay on that route.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. It's great people like Renault to keep this town moving at the pace, at the breakneck speed that it's moving at. It says, here's what it says. Use this traffic report with
exclamation
point. Uses. He's a bus driver who uses it. Let's talk to this fella. Well, as it turns out, not really. All right. Phone screener Brian, work that out, would you please? Really? This was a fine example of someone who uses the traffic report, someone who doesn't really use the traffic report. All right, I'm going to try this now. Let's see.
Yeah, how does the traffic report help you if you're a bus driver and you got to be on the same route the whole day long?
And how
you know, avoid
point,
it?
Right.
How pissed are you if he avoided your stop because it was slow and go on Wilshire? All right, let's see if we can get to Tori.
It's Tori.
Tori. Adam Carolla here.
Adam, how wonderful to hear from you.
I know you're upset because basically I'm trying to put you out of work. I will get you a gig if this ends up being your last day. I will. Well, first off, you don't feel bad because it's not like she loves traffic.
You don't know that.
Do you love traffic, Tori?
You know, Adam, I love it as much as I love your show.
Uh-oh.
But here's the deal.
Yes.
You know, I'm just doing my job here.
I understand.
And, you know, what are you doing? Why are you taking cheap shots at the little traffic reporter who gets 30 seconds to do her job, and I can't even defend myself because you closed my mic?
I didn't close your mic.
My mic is closed after 30 seconds.
Well,
what are you doing?
Well, let's bot it up. Well, first off, your argument that I don't give you an opportunity to defend yourself has been squashed by the fact that I've called you and put you on the radio show.
Oh, okay. But after 3 weeks, because I've been hearing this like your coffee routine every other day.
I would have done it.
We get that you don't like flavored coffee.
That's a
burn.
Please,
I beg of people, don't give him flavored coffee. Coffee is a flavor.
Thank you. Now, traffic. Let's get back to traffic, and then you guys can go, you and Rachel can go meet for tea and go over all the countless reasons why you don't like the Ace Man. It's abundantly clear. Let's keep going. Point is, I say this is useless. I say nobody uses this traffic report, and we could use this time for more talk about flavored coffee. I could do 30 more seconds on flavored coffee every hour without this traffic report. But you understand, I am not saying that there's anything wrong with you and that you don't deserve a life. I'm just saying, much like the defense industry, should we keep making a product that is not used so that we don't have to put people out of work?
I think Rachel had the perfect point. It's a blanket. It's comfort. If you don't hear your freeway in a report, then you feel good that, you know, you're going to work and you're getting there in a timely fashion.
But
I think it's just a comfort. If you don't have it, I think people would miss it.
Do you really think that when I'm in my bedroom and I'm hearing about the Zizek's road closure off the 118 freeway in Altamont, that it's a comfort to me?
I think my voice should be a comfort in your bedroom, Adam.
Well, how about this? How about instead of the 30 seconds of useless traffic you dispense,
right,
how about you just do little affirmations? How about you say things like, stop blaming your parents, and you're a champion, so play like one, and let's go out there and have a safe day, people.
No flavored coffee.
No flavored coffee. Focus. Keep your eye on the prize. How about that kind of stuff?
It's an idea.
Hey, yeah, if you would, I would like you just to read those posters bad businesses
put
up in the bathroom.
But still up in the chopper, though. She still has to give those meaningful motivational things from the chopper.
Yeah, you do realize I'm not in the chopper, right?
I can hear that, and I'm very disappointed by it.
Tori, be honest. Have you ever utilized a traffic report?
Yes, of course I have.
How many times?
You know what it...
Go ahead.
When I use it is when you're in the car and you're in a jam and you're not expecting the jam, mm-hmm. and then you tune in and you go, you know, what's happening? It's the rare occasion. And again, it's like Rachel said.
Rare.
It's a comfort. If you didn't hear
Haley's
it.
Haley's Comet, rare. That's what I'm saying.
And as far as the techno music.
Yes.
You know.
Here's what I'm saying. Haley's or Halley's Comet, depending on how they pronounce it these days, flies over once every 50 years. Should I stand out on my lawn and stare at the skies every day? That's what I'm saying to you. That's what I'm saying. No. Why? Never happens.
Is that my music? Are you playing my music?
Yes, we're playing your music.
Everybody up. And one, two.
Tori, do you even like this music?
You know, it's changed so many times.
Yeah.
I don't even hear it anymore.
Do you have a say in it?
In the music? No, it's your guys.
We're doing it?
Yes,
oh.
You.
Let's give us
a suggestion of what you want.
Do you have something you want?
Yes.
You know, if Adam hums lightly, maybe in the background, you know, something.
How about,
you know, whistle.
How about a little something from Karate Kid?
Nice choice. Thank you.
How about that, Lynch? All right, now come on, read some traffic. I just want to hear it.
I don't want to share with the other guy.
I won't make fun of you if you read a little traffic under this song.
This is I can't share though.
Give me a shot, Tori. Come on.
You want something?
Give me a little traffic under the best.
All right. You want something? It's Street Alert in Los Angeles.
Street Alert. Perfect. Here we go.
MLK Jr. Boulevard between mm-hmm. Western and Crenshaw. It's closed because of the parade today. Streets close at 8:30.
Wow.
I don't know. I don't.
Infinitely,
you know what,
more
though?
Listenable.
I don't.
I now enjoy the traffic report.
I don't know. I don't know.
I think it worked.
I would rather hear some weird, ironic music under the traffic report than what we've had. And can I just make a point, though? A parade street closure, that's something you want to know about.
Yeah.
That is important.
Everyone in this room, raise your hand if you're going to be down on Martin Luther King Boulevard today or in the next 5 hours. Anybody? 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 No, that's my point. The eyes have it. We are delivering a report at less than 1% of the population that hears it. Less than 1%.
Okay, so my new job is what? To make sure you don't get flavored coffee?
We'll find out off the air what you're making. And then a lot of people make the proclamation where they go, I'll double it, not me, but I'll beat it by penny. And then you just come over here and you join the crew.
That's an incredible offer.
Yes. You can fluff Damashek before the sports, get his confidence up.
Come on, for the love of...
I didn't even know you knew what that meant.
What?
How dare you for knowing what that means?
No, can I tell you how I know?
How?
Whoa.
Bruce Valanche on Celebrity Fit Club mm-hmm. had a t-shirt that said Fluffer.
Wow.
And we were surprised that it got across on the TV.
Wow.
That they let him wear that.
Wasn't
that
more
in Tad's song,
you,
I'm not fat, I'm a fluffer?
Yes, it was. All right, Tori. I can't promise you that we're not going to bash traffic because I still find it useless. But, well, that's about all I can say.
Same way I feel about insurance.
Was she crying, though? I want to know that.
Were you actually crying? Did you come to tears?
I came to my knees.
For what? The fluffing?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm practicing, you know, for my new job.
Here's the deal. Seriously, Tori, if I end up getting you fired, and I don't anticipate I will, but if I do, I will provide employment for you.
Okay.
Thank you. And let's hear the best behind you.
Is that what we're doing from now on?
Well, we'll get you a new song. If we rotate the songs and make them good songs, I think I can be interested in the report.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Tori.
All right.
We'll take ourselves a little break. We'll be right back after this.
You're listening to the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM.
Plasmatics.
Yeah. Finally. Gurinder.
What's up, man?
Is that your name?
Yeah, my real name.
Wow.
I'm from India. It means the ray of light from God.
Right. It means nothing where you live, though. People need to focus on that. This means princess. No. This means ray of light. Yeah, where you're from. Here, just a weirdo name.
Yeah, I know. It's true.
Yeah.
But it makes people remember me, though.
Not really. I'm going to forget you almost immediately. How say you, Gurinder?
I say nay.
you say nay? Attention. Check, how say you?
Nay.
Rachel, what? How say you?
I say thee, say nay.
Yay or nay?
Yay, but unto K.
But unto K? How say you, Rachel Perry?
Yay.
Yay?
Yay. Not the weather lady. I agree with you, man. That's ridiculous.
Tori Signal says nay to A.
Well, I tell her if she says nay, then I have to say A. You have a dog.
I say B to nay. A.
If you're in LA and you lived here for a week, you know you're going to be in traffic.
A to
matter.
B? Nay. A to Z? Yay.
Yay. I say yay to you, good sir, as well.
How say you?
I say good day.
Hey,
good day. How say you? Nay or A? Or huzzah?
I say A.
Let's have two huzzahs. Hip hip.
Huzzah.
Hip hip.
Huzzah.
Enough.
I stuck in a kazaa there. You didn't catch that, did you?
Oh, did you? So what is your comment for us?
Actually, I was on hold earlier. You guys made me turn to cigarettes, man, about the Seattle game.
What happened?
It's cool. Seattle's uniforms do suck. And
yes.
It's rainy as heck out there, man.
Thank you for that update.
I wanted to say
another
thing. You know what? You guys should play like some Danny Ashy clips in the middle of it. Instead of her, you know, saying the weather.
Yeah. You want to hear the big boob queen, Danny Ash, is celebrating her 38th birthday?
I'd rather hear that in traffic than, you know, somebody telling me, oh, there's a traffic jam. Oh, I know.
All right. See what happens when you go to the phones? People are like, oh, go to the phones. We got a bus driver who disagrees with you. No, not really. This guy has some comments on traffic. He wants to talk about Danny Ash, porn star Danny Ash. Okay, well, we got Dave's list coming up. I got a Jay Leno story. Not one of these sightings. Not like I saw Jay at the mini-mart. I actually partied with Jay.
Woohoo!
Over the weekend. Got in a steam-powered
car.
Conflict
of interest, though, right? Because you're dear friends with Jimmy Kimmel, another late-night show host.
Yes. He said nay to Jay. I said huzzah to Jay. Yeah, when Jimmy found out about it, he was crestfallen, but he's going to call in. That is the great Jimmy Kimmel. We'll have news. We'll have traffic. We'll have weather. We'll have sports. All that. Go ahead and cue that up there, Michelle. That conversation we had. Yep. Where I'm winding down and we're at 53. There you go.
We also got Rich Eisen and Michael Ian Black.
That's right. And Jimmy Brusca, our crack producer. All that. After this.
Listen to Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM.
Yeah. 866-901-ADAM. As I glance up and see it written on the wall for the 3,000th time. Michael Ian Black from Stella and many other, Ed, The State, many other shows that I don't think are on the air anymore. He's going to call in. We'll explain why in a moment. But also Jimmy Kimmel, who's at home, who does not have to call in because he has a special device that lets him monitor the show and speak to us. Yes.
He actually has to call in because the engineer's not here and it's not working yet. So he does have to call in.
So you say nay to that.
I say nay to that, unfortunately.
I say yay to your nay.
I hope we have these technical glitches figured out before we actually start broadcasting this show. You know, instead of doing these practice shows.
It's very hard to get an engineer on these off days, by the way, that no one wants to work. But that being said, we will
Why would the engineers can't get up because too much booze and too much whoring the night before? What were they doing the night before besides finishing off?
I saw the nerdy Lynn early, and we don't know where he is, but they don't have it ready.
I will tell you, I will stack the Kalis X, the mother station nerds here up against any other nerds in any other station, and nay, in any other department. Forget about radio. Bring on your nerds. I will challenge you with our nerds.
To what? What sort of a duel?
Nerd off.
A A nerd off? I think we should. I think we should have a nerd off.
I think, well, also, here's the thing about our nerds. Our nerds at this station are so nerdy, their foreheads are getting bigger. They're actually growing. I mean, it's actually, there's a physical transformation that is taking place. Their brains are so swollen with information that their skulls cannot accommodate them anymore. Thus, their cranium must start moving to accept and accommodate the new brain size. We have super uber nerds. How say you to that, Damashek?
Yay.
I say yay to that, Rachel Perry?
I say yay.
Let's find out how Michael Ian Black. Michael? Michael?
Yes?
How say you?
Yay.
Yay, you say. I say good day.
Good day.
Michael is calling in the show because it's Martin Luther King Day. And we initially wanted to get a couple of black celebrities in here, and we tried Magic Johnson and Steve Harvey and Colin Powell, and we realized they said nay. And at that point, we just decided we needed someone with the name Black in their title. Michael Ian Black, although you're not black, you have the last name of Black, and it's Martin Luther King Day, so thank you for calling in.
Happy MLK Day.
Thank you. I was a big fan, and so was Dave Damashek and Rachel Perry of Stella.
Oh, thank you very much.
Also, I also liked Ed, for that matter.
A very white show.
Yes, it was a very white show. And, of course, the state. And you did, and we did, sort of compete against each other for the late spot, did we not?
We did indeed. I never thought of it as a competition, Adam.
Me neither.
I would have been thrilled had you gotten it. I would have been more thrilled had I gotten it.
Yes.
As it was, it went to the best possible choice, Craig Ferguson.
Now, what did happen with that? What is your story? What do you tell people when they ask you?
That they hired somebody else.
Mm-hmm. And you don't get defensive and give them a story about turning it down or scheduling conflicts like
I
do?
Everybody knows that I'm not smart enough or wise enough to have my own talk show.
I thought you were very good.
Thank you very
it.
Much. That's very nice of you.
I watched for the first time. I watched late on with the CBS show. And, of course, when you're vying for a job, you want to watch the competition. And I know we established it wasn't a competition. But there's one spot and a bunch of people trying out for it. You want to see how they're doing. And I thought Michael Ian Black was excellent. I was surprised and actually disappointed how good most people were.
I thought everybody was terrific, including yourself, and you were so good they gave you your own talk show, and now you got a radio show.
Oh, thank you.
You never stop.
Thank you.
And look at me, unemployed.
Yeah, well, but here's the thing. You're an artist.
Yeah.
It's cool for you to be unemployed.
Yeah.
I'm just a hackneyed guy who tells the same coffee jokes and makes fun of the traffic lady over and over again. I need money.
I'd rather be a hackneyed guy with a job than an artist, believe me.
Well, what is your situation like, and what is your daily ritual like? Do you just wake up and create? Put your beret on and create?
What's it like being black?
That's what we want to know. Yes.
It's an appropriate question on Martin Luther King Jr. Day.
Mm-hmm.
What is it like being black? I get up, hug my kids.
You have kids?
I have two kids, yeah.
I want you to take this in the spirit in which it's intended, Michael, if you
thought
could.
I was gay. Say it.
Yes. Now, I knew you were gay. It was that strong. I didn't even think. I thought I'd had relations with you.
Let me tell you something.
What is it about you?
Just my general effeminate nature, I think.
I don't think so. I really realize it's not the content. There's a pheromone that you give off.
I have the high cheekbones and the gay good looks.
Right.
And I'm safe, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It makes me very popular with the ladies. Everybody thinks, oh, that gay guy, he'd never come on to me. Guess what? Next thing you know, I'm in your pants.
Pow. And when you say my pants, you mean a chick's pants, right?
No, I meant yours, Adam.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you know what it is? I think your skin's too good. I think if you gave yourself a little pockmark or blemish or two, nobody with bad skin is ever accused of being gay. Everyone, close your eyes and picture all the gay guys with the horrible skin.
Well, they also.
Nope.
Well, I'll tell you, though, that they also have much better bodies than I do. I wear clothes well because I'm skinny, but I have no muscle tone.
All right. Well, why don't you pack on about 30, get yourself some acne, and we'll see you on the Celebrity Fit Club.
All right. I'll try it.
The gay edition. Michael, thank you for calling in. We appreciate it.
May I ask this quickly? Is Stella gone? It will not be resurfacing anywhere?
Here's the thing I'm learning about television. Apparently, if nobody watches your program, you don't stay on the air.
Wow. I think I learned that over at Comedy Central, too.
Yeah.
All right, my brother. thank you for calling in, and you can get back to your celebration now.
Thanks for having me.
Our pleasure. All right, now on to bigger and better things. I saw Jay Leno on Saturday. I was going to the automotive bookstore in Burbank. Once in a while on a Saturday, I'll make the pilgrimage to the automotive bookstore. Now, for me, I'm torn because it has automotive in the title, but it also has book. So I don't know what to do. Yeah.
The picture books?
Yeah. It's like pay-per-view porn. On one hand, I enjoy the porn. On the other hand, it has the word pay in it. So I go into the auto bookstore, and as I'm walking in, I run into Jay Leno. And I know it's very convenient and easy to hate Mr. Leno, but I watch these car shows and I see him on it every time, and I see he has a shop in Burbank, California. It's not one shop. It is three. Three huge warehouses filled with cars, and not only cars, but machinery. CNC machines and sandblasting machines, and it's a paint booth and lifts and hoists and hydraulic this and pneumatic that. I've always wanted to see it, but there's just never been an opportune time. So I ran into him and I asked him if I could come see his shop, and he told me to come over. And the next thing you know, we're thick as thieves in his Stanley Steamer automobile, taking laps around the Burbank airport. It was a little gay even because I had to wear his jacket. I don't know if that's gay or not. Maybe we should get Michael Ian Black back on the phone. But it was cold outside. This is a car that has no windshield and no anything. And I needed a jacket. So I had to borrow one of his jackets.
Let me ask you this.
I put it on myself. Thank you.
Did you feel you were committing an act of betrayal against your dear friend Jimmy Kimmel? Jay Leno's arch rival of the late night.
I know. His nemesis, my lover, Jimmy Kimmel. I thought about it, and then I thought also, should I speak to Jimmy about it? And then I thought, if he finds out about it, and he has his sources spread out all over the San Fernando Valley, if he finds out about it, then I'm really in trouble.
He's definitely finding out about it now.
Then it seems like I've hidden it. So I just decided to come out and tell him. He was a brave soldier. I don't think he wanted to break down in front of the boys because we're watching sports over at his house.
That's what I was just going to ask. Maybe you could go to Jay Leno's house to watch the football games next weekend instead of going to Jimmy's.
Jimmy?
You wore his jacket?
It was a jacket that he owned. I don't say it was his jacket.
Jacket.
It wasn't his Letterman jacket or anything. Pardon the pun. No, I mean his Letterman jacket. You know what I'm saying. Right. My point is it was one of these things where one minute we were just talking on a sidewalk in Burbank, and the next minute we're tooling down San Fernando Boulevard in a steam-powered car. I don't know what happened between then and the time we're in the car. It was a whirlwind romance.
He roofied you.
You wore his jacket?
It was cold, Jimmy. There's no windshield in one of these cars.
It was cold in a steam-powered car, a car that produces boiling water. It was cold.
I know it seems like a thinly veiled excuse, but it really was, Jimmy. And it was either that or cuddle with the king of late night himself.
How dare you? And by the way, I would like to interject one thing if I could. I'm not powered by steam, so it may take me a moment to get to. You did not offer this up to me yesterday. My cousin Sal, as I recall, said, Adam, tell Jimmy about you and Jay Leno.
Well,
Dad is coming clean to you?
Well,
hardly.
Wow. This is
I say nay. That's what I say. Nay to Jay. You say yay to Jay.
I say yay to Jay and nay to Sal, but gay to Michael Ian Black. I'm still convinced of it.
Yay, but nay to Jay and his steam-powered vehicle.
Well, here's what happened. Obviously, by bringing it up to the crew, and that includes your cousin Sal yesterday, I knew it would be a topic point the second you walked in the door. So,
I'd like to tell a story if I could. Dave, Rachel, everyone listening, about someone I met many years ago. I think the year was 1995, I believe.
94.
No, 94 was the year.
Yes.
That's right.
You weren't driving a steam-powered car back then, were you, Adam?
No, I think I was driving a Mazda truck.
Yeah, I think you were driving a Mazda truck that had no air conditioning and perhaps a lot of body damage on the sides. Mm-hmm. But that was a long time ago. In those days, we used to spend a lot of time together. Oh, yay. Yes, we did. In fact, we went to, as I recall, we went to lunch together almost every day. Sometimes we'd spend 3-4 hours at lunch.
Yes. Talking about the days that when I got famous enough to drive in Leno's steam-powered car.
Yeah, the years went by, and, things change. People get busy. But we wound up working together. We'd work together all day, and that was enough time. We'd spend occasionally. We'd go out to dinner or maybe on a little trip for the weekend. But, again, jobs interfered, and work got in the way, and gradually, we spent less and less time together, and when I call Adam, sometimes he'll say, "Hey, you want to run down to the Costco?" I don't know. I've got this going on, got that going on, and
sorry, but I do tell you to pick me up some paper towels, don't I?
Yeah, paper plates, paper towels.
Is this going somewhere?
And now,
yes,
I hear you're tooling around in the steam-powered car with Jay Leno.
I know.
Well, let me ask
I know it is sad that it's come to this.
Did you stop by the J Bar for a couple of cocktails while you were wearing his jacket and powered by steam?
Jay doesn't drink and drive, Jimmy. That's one thing you should know about him. He takes the rules of the road very seriously, and that's one of the things that attracted me to him initially. Yes, Damashek, how say you?
Jimmy, what, if anything, can make this right? Do you come back from this?
The only thing I think that could make this right is if you and I were to go undercover and destroy every car in his garage this weekend. Just in a blaze, an inferno in that warehouse. Burn everything. Burn the steam car, burn the Model T to Model H to Model J, whatever the hell he's got in there. That stupid fire engine he drives around Burbank. Hey, everybody, I'm in my fire engine.
Wow.
What is he doing in a fire? By the way, I'll tell you another thing. I thought he spent all his free time with Mavis. It's impossible that he would be driving around with you for hours.
Well, Mavis is the name of the fire engine, actually, so technically you're right. No, Jay, even if we burnt it all to the ground, he would rise like a phoenix from the ashes.
Let me ask you this, Corolla. Hmm. If you had to choose, who do you like better, Jimmy or Jay?
Oh, no doubt. No doubt, I go with the J-Man. No, I mean Jay. No, the J. No, I call Jimmy the J-Man.
Oh.
You know, this reminds me of a song. See if you remember. I'm going to try to conjure up the lyrics of the song and see if you can identify it.
Okay. I hope it's Huey Lewis.
My son turned 10 just the other day. He said, "Thanks for the ball, Dad. Come on, let's play." He said, "Did you teach me to throw?" I said, "Not today. I got a lot to do in a steam car with Jay."
Wow. So poignant. I get the message. Wow. It's almost as if I can hear the song. You sing it so well.
No one asked my opinion, but I got to say, I'm on Kimmel's side with this one. Shame on you. Shame.
I was caught in between. I was not prepared. I didn't know what to say.
It's not even funny.
Oh.
You were not caught in between.
I didn't know what to do, Jimmy.
You had a choice. You could have walked away.
Did you keep the jacket?
No. No. No, but his masculine musk remained on my forearm.
It wasn't a real date then.
I've been through this before. I remember my friend Cleto, a year older than me. He got into high school. I was still in junior high. Started hanging around with the cool kids. I was forgotten. Every once in a while, he'd stop by the house, maybe, say, on his way to 7-Eleven at, like, 2 in the morning, beep his horn a couple times. I'd come scurrying out in my pajamas, drive with him just to spend a few minutes with him. But it was never really the same.
I'll tell you something, and I know this just sounds convenient, but much like a couple that has experienced this sort of situation, we can use this as a stepping stone to come closer together, Jimmy. I am recommitting to you.
Yeah, well, I'm moving to New York to sleep with Conan.
Oh, how dare you. All right, Jimmy, we got to take a break.
Yeah, you take a break. Call Jay. Maybe you guys can figure out what you're going to do this weekend.
Oh, you're kidding.
They're bringing my ass to football.
That would be uncomfortable, wouldn't it? You should hear the horn in that steam car. It's like a locomotive.
I'm getting a big can of gasoline, and I'm headed over to Burbank right now.
Two grown men driving around in a steam car. Shame on you.
All right. The great Jimmy Kimmel, everybody. We will take ourselves a little break. When we come back, beautiful, beautiful Brittany, the sales girl, will tell us how her date with Big Tad went. All that after this.
Hi, this is Uncle Frank from the Jimmy Kimmel Live Show. You're listening to the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM. Adam, I've been listening to the show every day, and I love it. I'm enjoying it so much, but it messed up my whole schedule. I used to go walking in the morning, but that's okay.
Well, maybe me and Jay will pick you up in the Stanley Steamer. You won't have to walk.
Can I say this?
Yeah.
Uncle Frank, I spoke with him directly. He is a big fan. That's not just jive for the radio. He is a fan of the show. But he did ask me to send out this message to all the people listening. The keys to life, says Uncle Frank,
mm-hmm.
One, stay fit,
mm-hmm.
and two, be on time. If you do these things, your life is sure to be successful.
Yeah.
So he wanted me to deliver that message, so now I have.
He gets to the airport 9 hours early.
Right.
On a flight to Vegas, yeah. Taryn is here. Brittany is here. They're the beautiful sales people from KLSX.
Hello. Hi.
All of the sales people are hot over there. I mean, you guys are hot, but you represent the overall hotness of the foxes that run free on the other side of the building. Obviously, it's a help in any business, and maybe more so in sales, that you're a beautiful woman. Because people would be more apt to buy something from you, would they not?
I think so.
See? That's good. You didn't argue with me. You're hot. You know it. You're fine with it. Big Tad, who's not shared the same life luck as beautiful Brittany, because he's not been laying over 2 years, went out with Brittany. Now, Mike, our Booker Mike, and people, when you talk about first-class Booker, Ron Popeil, phoner, Michael Ian Black, phoner. It's a cavalcade of stars.
There's no way to erase the shame.
We got Quentin Tarantino, though.
Will make an appearance in this studio. I promise you.
Yes, right. And originally, when I pictured Booker, I didn't mean folks that phone in from their hotel room with bad lines like Howie Mandel. I actually thought that... I know I'm crazy, but I pictured celebrities in the flesh, in the studio. I didn't know they'd be calling in. Yes?
My job description has to be absolutely redesigned, I guess.
All right. Please. All right. So anyway, Mike went out. Mike, the great Booker, went out with Brittany. It turned out that she liked Mike, but he was not dark enough for her. She likes the brothers.
Hey, yes. Where's imagine white this? Women at?
Ace, I mean, listen to this logic. I'm not rejecting you. It's mm-hmm. just that I'm not taking applications from white guys at this time, right?
Wow.
Seriously,
wow.
Brittany is running her own personal affirmative action program, and I am a victim. I think I've got a case.
Yeah, I do too. Very sad. And the thing about Brittany is Brittany's 22, she's blonde, she's buxom, and just built for speed. I mean, that's what it is. There's certain women, you're worried you might break them. Not Brittany.
I'm powered by steam.
Yeah, she's going to break you. She will snap you like kindling.
But is it a steadfast rule you have?
No, not at all. That's why I said everybody has a fair shot.
You'll turn to a white man if need be. You don't just, but by the way, may I say, you don't just like a random black man. You have a taste for NBA athletes, yes?
Mm.
NBA superstars. Is this not true? I've done some work. I employ a private detective, and he's determined that in your past, LeBron James, superstar? True? Baron Davis?
Brittany, I didn't say anything, I swear.
Whoa, that means she said something.
Wow, and that was a totally honest answer, and now she's laughing.
That's beautiful, Taryn, so she must have said something.
I don't feel so bad.
All right. Is this true, yay or nay? How say you?
Nay.
Nay? Nay, you say.
We don't like lies in these worlds.
Partially yay, partially nay.
Ooh.
Oh, my God. LeBron, yes. Baron Davis, no.
No, the other way around.
Oh.
Ooh.
All right.
So you've been with the man. Is it true what they say?
Which part?
You know the part I'm talking about. Ironically using the word part, but yes. Yes. Is it true?
Typically, yes.
Typically, yes. You've done a survey.
But that doesn't go for all.
Okay.
There's an exception.
Other than being short, fat, and having a small penis and being lily white, what is Big Tad? When you think of Baron Davis, you think of Big Tad. That's they both have the 42-inch vertical leap. How was your date with Big Tad?
It went very well.
Mm-hmm. What did you do?
We went to lunch at Bossa Nova on Sunset. Mm-hmm. This was on Friday afternoon. And by the way, it was his decision to take me to lunch, which, as we all know, lunch date is kind of like you're giving yourself an out. So
right.
If it sucks, you can just be like, oh, well, gotta go. Mm-hmm. So that was his idea. So I don't know. Maybe he was testing
me. So he went to Bossa Nova.
He
ate 28 pounds of plantains. And then what?
The thing with Tad is he has a few setbacks, some unfortunate circumstances. Mm-hmm. Not only does he live at home, but with his mom. And correct me if I'm wrong, also his uncle, aunt, grandma, and cousin live there as well.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I got
God.
The big family in there.
Me.
Yeah.
So
wow.
That was,
white
that
trash. Wow. That is one of the cornerstones of white trash is having the entire family roof.
I feel like you're some sort of Korean family or something.
Wait, no. Let me just say this.
I second that.
My dad passed about 2 years ago, and my grandma and all my family came to help out with my mother because my dad thought he would live forever. He didn't prepare for anything. So
right.
When my dad passed, my right. family came in just to help out with the money and everything.
Right. 2.5 years ago.
They're still helping out.
Right. My grandfather died. The family came together. We ate and then we split. We didn't hang out for another 3 years.
We love.
We didn't all get together in the living room and all just camp out. Let me explain how funerals work, Dad. Somebody dies, people show up, and then they leave. They don't stay there.
It wasn't just a funeral. It's just helping
evidently
out with
expenses. Not.
It's just helping out with expenses and stuff.
What kind of overhead could the Newcomb family have?
Don't ask.
Please.
I don't
lived
know.
In the same house for 150 years.
Yeah.
Your mom drives a shopping cart. What? Really? What kind of overhead? What do you guys have to make? About $1.18 a month?
I'm going to kill somebody.
You live at home. What's going on,
Tad? Alone consumes. Tad consumes an entire cow every day. So that's one expense right
one
there.
One thing. Rip on me. Rip on me. Just please don't rip on my family.
He's first off, I studied up on Tad. Turns out he's an herbivore. He eats a metric ton of plankton.
Oh, really?
Every day. Yes. 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 Much like a manatee. All right. So you went out with Brittany.
Yes.
Well, let me get back to this. Your house. I've not seen it, but I know it's got to be under 1,400 square feet, right?
Sure.
It's not a palace.
No, it's not.
There are 11 people living under the same roof. You are a chronic masturbator. How does this work? How does this work? Do you go out on the lawn? What do you do? Do you have a masturbatorial teepee that you pitch out on the thing? What goes on? How can you find your privacy with this many people?
It's easy.
Really?
Yeah.
Shower?
Shower, late night.
Late night?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. All right. All right, so Brittany, oh, you must be turned on after being with NBA
stars. Well, I'm not
her
type. I don't care.
All right, so what happened? Tell us about the date.
Well, then the other thing was that when he, this and this is really unfortunate if he's going to be taking someone on a date, is he got a DUI recently. So
right.
When
two
he gets in
them.
His car, two, he yeah. has to blow into the breathalyzer thing to start
yep.
the car.
Jay had to do that on a steam-powered car. It's a grandfather rule. I can't explain any more about it. So he has to blow.
Fun? I'm having a great time.
You have to actually blow yeah. into a tube to get the car started.
Yeah.
Oh, humiliating. Just drive home to your parents' house.
And
oh.
sometimes when we're driving, it would go off in the middle of our trees. We'd have to do it again.
And it was penis shaped. That was the most humiliating part of the whole
and it
thing.
Was black.
Wow. So you had to tear Brittany away from it in order to get to it yourself. Wow. Wow, I'm torn because I want to hear about Big Tad, but this whole NBA celebrity thing is very, it's tantalizing to me, you know? What happened? How did you meet Baron Davis? How did this work? How does this stuff go on? Do you go wait out at the hotel? Do you go to the Staples Center? How does it work?
No, to be quite honest, I didn't even know who he was when I met him. I mean, I watch basketball, but not enough to know. Like, I know Shaq and Kobe and the people that everybody else knows, but I don't necessarily know every player. So when I met him, I didn't know who he was.
But let me, all women say this who date athletes. They had no idea. I love when Karl Malone's wife explains that she actually thought he was a mailman. That's why people, she actually has the huevos to say she actually thought he was a mailman because that's his nickname. I know you probably didn't know what team he played for or what his stats were, but when you see an 8-foot tall black man wearing a hubcap worth of jewelry around his neck and pulling up in a Bentley, you do the math.
Actually,
right?
Baron doesn't wear any jewelry at all. If you saw him, you wouldn't even know that really had money. He wears no jewelry.
So what was the attraction?
He was actually very persistent with me. He had a friend there with him, too, and he was just kind of like, you know, I really want to talk to you. He was really busy. There was a lot going on, so he's like, I really want to talk to you. Please stay around. Where were you? We were at the...
Players Ball? Where were you?
We were at the Sunset Room.
Mm-hmm.
So...
All right.
He was just very persistent, and I gave him my number, and he called me the next day, and I, you know, we were talking. I was like, so what do you do?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I play ball. I'm like, play ball for... I didn't get it.
No, you never.
And then he told me.
They never know. No beautiful woman knows what a pro athlete or an actor or anybody does before they get together with him. All right.
Yeah.
All right. But yet, Big Tad, you know.
Oh, I know what he does. Yeah.
And you went out, and no sparks between the two of you.
There were no sparks, but I'm going to say this again. He, and I'm not exaggerating at all, is like probably the sweetest guy that I've ever gone out on a date with in my life.
Right. So he's not going to get laid for another few years.
I got that going.
You have a song, and I hear you sing as well.
I do sing.
Did you compose a song?
Well, I had some help, but I put together a song that's very dear to my heart for the two of them because of this experience we've gone through together.
This would summarize your experience with Mike and Big Tad?
Yes, yes.
Wow.
Yes.
I'd be interested. Yeah, let's hear that.
Yeah, they hold a special place in my heart now.
Okay.
So.
Surprises how to rap.
Feel free if you want in the interlude. I work in sales just down the hall. Then last week I got the call to go on dates with Mike and Tad.
Wow.
Both of them were so nice and sweet. When they took me out to eat, I wanna find a guy real bad, but not the two of you. Couldn't have me if you tried. Not the two of you. Not the two of you. To be with you, I'd rather die. Not the two of you.
Wow.
Mike cannot date me cause he's cheap. Tad needs a shave and is obese. Tad will find someone his own weight, and daily Mike will masturbate. The guys I'm attracted to are black. Not the two of you. Couldn't have me if you tried. Not the two of you.
Wow.
Not the two of you. To be with you, I'd rather die. Not the two of you. Tad and Mike.
Wow.
That was something.
So what are you
sales
trying to say?
Girl,
they keep the best singers in the sales department.
Yeah. Solid.
Hey, so did you, feel free, this question's open to either August, Mike August, or Tad. Did you guys end up pleasuring yourself to Britney, thoughts of Britney afterwards?
No.
No comment after that song. No,
no
comment.
No.
Erased from the memory bank.
Who?
Never to be remembered again.
Who?
Yeah. I hear Tad did it during... Well, he was crying, blowing into his ignition system. All right. We will take ourselves a little break. What do we have calling in? Rich Eisen?
Yes.
Did I get that right?
Yes.
He will be calling in. We have sports. We have news. We also have Taryn in here, the super smoking foxy.
Yeah,
Taryn.
I'd like to get on a date with August.
Yeah.
Didn't work out.
She is in August, I think. Yes, Taryn?
Please, for the love of God.
Sure, I'm open.
He's the right color.
Not really. We'll take a break. All that after this.
You're listening to The Adam Cole Show. Call Adam Cole now at 866-901-ADAM.
That is correct. 866-901-ADAM. Rich Eisen from the NFL Network should be calling in any second now. Ed? Ed?
Yeah.
How say you?
Adam.
How say you?
I say good. How are you?
I say well. Thank you.
So you went over to Jay's Big Garage. What was your favorite car in the whole collection?
Wow.
How many does he have, first of all?
He's got tons. He's got three garages full.
You've been yourself, Ed?
Yeah, I transport cars for him.
Oh, you do? Well, touche. How say you? I say touche. Yay or nay?
I say yay.
You've brought cars over to Jay's Garage?
Yeah, did you see the new Duesenberg you just got?
Yeah. Yeah, let me say this. Jay rescues Duesenbergs, much like the stoner we wake up at 6:30 rescues greyhounds from Mexico. He rescues Duesenbergs. He finds these old Duesenbergs socked away in these garages, been there for 56 years. He drags them out, pays a ton of money to the owner, and then usually one of the family members of the deceased owner. Too bad Big Tad's dad didn't leave a Duesenberg behind. They'd all be doing fine right now. Point is, and then he restores it for all of us to enjoy.
Rescues
the kind of man he is. He rescues it, yeah.
A hero.
He probably has 50, 60 cars. He has a McLaren F1 supercar that's kind of cool. But I like the Lamborghini Miura. Look it up. Beautiful car. Rich?
Yes, sir?
How say you?
I'm saying hello.
Rich Eisen, everybody.
So much. Thank you.
Thank God for this NFL Network. I watch it. I am. It is a drug to me. I watch you every night, Rich.
Thank you. That's good to know.
I enjoy the hell out of it, and many, many questions surrounding you and football. But first off, what can we expect on the NFL Network during the off season after the Super Bowl?
Well, I mean, things get actually busier. As soon as we're done with the Super Bowl, we hop a plane to the Pro Bowl for the busman's holiday.
Sure.
And then 8 days after that, the combine starts, where everybody starts poking and prodding all the 200-some-odd future draftees, check their 40 time, how wide their hands are, how tall they are, how high they can jump.
Is there any? I've always said if they reran old Monday Night Footballs, people would watch.
Yeah, that's been looked into, and the word that I have, although it's not, don't quote me on it, even though I'm saying it on your radio program, is that I'm told the estate of Howard Cosell does not approve.
Interesting.
What a shocker!
They do not wish to that you need approval to run that stuff. I may be wrong.
Well, obviously,
I'd watch anything.
But my feeling is you could start year one of Monday Night Football, whatever that was, 71 or whatever year it was.
70.
Was it 1970?
Yes, it was.
You could start year one and just start running the games every Monday night. There's no way anyone would remember who won between the Bills and Miami in 1970 or 71 or whenever it was. And you could enjoy it if you had some dignity, you could actually gamble on it and enjoy the entire season. We would hear these names like Ed Bodelak or Pete Bodelak or Banaszak and all these crazy Emerson Boozers and all these crazy names from our childhood. And it'd be fun. And it'd be also cool to sprinkle in a few. Shut your mic, would you, Brusca, so I don't have to hear you over there? Thank you. It would also be cool to sprinkle in a couple commercials of the day.
Just
run it straight, the entire broadcast straight, you know, trying to try and clear the commercials and just seeing the old graphics, just the big block letters over players' like faces and stuff like that. It would be
Ahmed Rashad, Sammy White.
Otis is drunk.
Sir Francis of Tarkington. To the little, they said he was too small to play in this league, but don't tell him that. Cutslip now picks up a block. 85 yards, a pair of touchdown. No, nullified. Holding call. Pat goes on to win it. So awesome.
That'd be great. Dan
Don
has just put his breakfast all over my Bruno Mali. Can hear that one, too.
Oh, Soldier Field, Arrowhead Stadium.
Hey, Eisen, are you thrilled over there when you have to talk about the NFL every day? Are you happy to see, as we are here, to see the Patriots out, a new storyline?
Well, you know, it is refreshing that we'll be able to go to this will be the first Super Bowl we've covered without the Patriots. And I say that only by the fact that you just want to be able to cover something new, see new coaches, see new players.
But also
with the team.
Or, no, I think I speak for all Americans when I say we've had an assful of Patriot fans. We've had an ass full of Sox fans. We've had an ass full of New England sports in general. And they've proven to be the most obnoxious of all the fans.
Well, you know, last year in Jacksonville with the Patriots and the Eagles fans descending upon the
Patriots
was really out of control.
What a nightmare.
And the Eagles fans outnumbered the Patriots fans 4-1 easily in Jacksonville last year. And this year, I have absolutely no idea who's going to make it to Detroit because, I mean, had Indianapolis gotten through, I mean, that's obviously the closest in proximity, but who knows what it's going to look like now.
Well, you got to watch out for those Seattle fans.
Oh, yeah.
They are a drunken rowdy brood there. Look out.
Yeah, I mean, they're already wondering if they can get wireless internet at the game. It's really wild.
Yeah.
It's really nuts.
Yeah. I'll tell you, I love football. I love the show. And I would love to come on the show and make some picks.
My God, Adam. That's a done deal. Done.
Can please. I come? Thank you. No. Jay and I are going to take our steam-powered car over there.
We got to do that.
How about
we'll
Ted?
Make our
Did
picks.
Ted go on the show?
Yeah. How about Big Tad?
Do you vouch for him?
No.
Okay.
Okay.
Then definitely bring him.
Thank you. Rich Eisen, everybody. NFL Network. Total access.
Excellent. Take care.
Every night, every second. Every day, every way. All right, we'll take ourselves a quick break, and then we're back with news and sports after this.
You're listening to the Adam Carolla Show. He's so hot.
Yeah, phone number 866-901-ADAM. Made fun of our poor traffic lady, Tori. Well, really just made fun of her job, not her personally, but she got upset earlier in the morning. To be fair to traffic folks, I'd like them to be put out of their misery and get a new gig. I also feel like the weather folks could use another job, too. That Sun Valley checking in at 68. Cerritos, 68 currently. Glendale, 68. Burbank, 68 degrees. Van Nuys, 68. Los Angeles, 68 degrees. La Puente, 68. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Here's a question, too. Have you ever left the house and then went back in after hearing the weather report and went, oh, I better grab a sweater? Have you ever done anything? That's my question. Whether it's the traffic or the weather, have you done anything? Have you altered your route? Have you altered your plans? Have you altered your apparel? Ever? And if the answer is no, then let's move on.
And I don't know what that means when I hear the numbers they give out anyway for weather. I need to actually stick my hands outside.
Pomona checking in, 68 degrees. Especially here. We're not farmers. What are we, growing yams? How's your crop doing? How say you with croppage?
Nay.
Nay, you say? Yeah, everyone gets in their car. If it's hot, we roll the window down. If it's not, we leave the window up, and then we just set the thermostat for 71, and we go about our business. We don't need it anymore. They needed it, ironically, before radio was invented. They needed the weather report. They didn't know what they should wear, bear skin or loincloth. But now, doesn't matter. We have the heated seats. You go into your office. Your office is a constant 71 degrees. Don't need it anymore.
And plus, in L.A., you have a car. You should, at all times, have an extra sweater or boots or flip-flops in your car, depending on, and you can vary it.
Yeah, in case you got a crash at some basketball player's house. All right, not you, Rachel Perry. But something we do need, Rachel Perry with the news. Yeah, worst song of all time. Everyone, just listen to this song. This song made it to number one. Now I ask you, are people stupid or were program directors on the take? I say it was the wheelbarrows of coke they were dropping off, the payola that got the world's worst song up to number one. We cannot be this stupid to make this song number one. And please, you gay naysayers, do not call in and defend this song. It's a horrible song. You liked it when you were 11 because you were stupid, but it's horrible. Play it again. Play it. Give me another shot of that, please.
Should I just do the news?
No. Let's just listen. She's a man-eater. Nobody? Nobody? It's not an insult? This isn't an attack? She only comes out at night. And then at the end, whoa, she's wild, whoa. It's horrible. Generic sax solo, generic 80s sax solo in the middle. It has nothing to do with the song. Okay. All right. Go ahead, Rachel Perry. Yeah.
Awesome. A Pakistani border village was the target of a U.S. airstrike over the weekend, which was intended to kill Ayman Zawahiri, Osama bin Laden's number two, though it is becoming clearer that he was probably not at the site of the attack, but there's no confirmation.
I think we need to start blowing up the places where we don't think they are, because every time, oh, he's in this safe house, and then we blow it up, and it turns out he wasn't in there. And we need to start blowing up every place but where we think he is, because I've now learned, historically, he cannot possibly be where we think he is.
And by the way, how many more number twos can we kill? Alrighty, we've killed the number two and the number three man roughly 563 times. We've killed their
number two keeps coming back.
Right.
We've gotten Oates, but we still haven't gotten Hall.
That's right. That's what we need. Thank you.
Well, today is the 20th celebration commemorating the life of Martin Luther King Jr. Of course, it's meant to be celebrated through service and activism. Here's an interesting story. Not necessarily Martin Luther King related, but sort of in black news. I don't know. Judge Mallory, who is a black judge in Cincinnati, sentenced a guy who shouted racial slurs at a black cab driver for disorderly conduct. Now, his sentencing, his choices he was given, 30 days in jail or 6 Sunday services at a predominantly black church.
Wow.
Chose the church.
I like it when judges get into that stuff where the guy has to wear a sandwich board sign that says, I'm a criminal, or I looked weird at my daughter's friends, or any of these kinds. I'm back on. I'm with this. I like the creative penalties. I enjoy that. I mean, you know, the cutting the pinky off for the pickpocket is nice and all, but I like the humiliating ones. This is good.
These are good.
Any news? Did we figure out which one he chose? I'm guessing he's going to go to church.
Yeah, he chose the church.
Okay.
I think that's great.
Yeah.
They should make a reality show out of it.
Sure.
So Randall McCloy Jr., the sole surviving miner of the West Virginia mine tragedy, his brother sold the first picture of him in the hospital without Randall's wife's permission to the National Enquirer for $800.
Wow. But in
$800
in hillbilly dollars. That's a lot.
Do you know how much money that he could have got for that?
Yeah.
It's got to have been more than $800.
It seems like it would be more than $800. Yeah. Why not start a bidding war? You have all the tabloids and then all the mining publications, I imagine.
And yeah. National Enquirer? This could have been People Magazine's like biggest.
That's nice. So he just went in and got a picture of his brother who's in a medically induced coma and then sold it to the Enquirer. Awesome. That's great stuff. That's going to look good on his reel when he's in hell.
Sad news. Shelley Winters died of heart failure over the weekend at the age of 85.
Wow.
Yep. Oscar winner.
I'll tell you one thing. That lady had guts.
She was brassy.
No, isn't that...
She had class, yeah.
That's Borgnine's line, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, Poseidon
that lady
Adventure.
Had guts.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and who... you know, she was morbidly obese when she was 50, Who knew she would make it to 85? Amazing.
85.
Yeah.
Joe Perry from Aerosmith stopped wearing cowboy hats on tour after somebody said, Joe, that's very Brokeback Mountain of you.
Wow.
Yeah, I hope it takes out the whole cowboy hat wearing population, except for the real cowboys in Texas, and they're gay anyway, but the whole thing where it's cool to wear cowboy hats.
Yeah, there are guys you see out there that just pick the Western theme. They got the big belt buckle, the boots, they wear the super tight Wrangler jeans, and it's sort of like, what's going on? Unless you're working on a ranch or you're on the circuit, what is going on with the theme day? And this constitutes a Halloween costume in my book. Like, for me, if I was dressing as a cowboy, I would dress as you dress every day. So every day is Halloween.
Well, but Rachel's discussing, if I'm not mistaken, the guy you're talking about is the hipster who wears the cowboy hat along with his ironic graphic t-shirt, yes?
Yeah.
Worse.
You know, I...
Right. Like, even worse.
The thing is, I love the way a cowboy hat looks, like rugged cowboy hat. Every time I've tried to pull it on, I'm like, I just look so lame, right? Like, I'm going to go out, and I feel like that guy.
I'll tell you, it is nice, though. I'll tell you what it's nice for if you wear a hat, especially a cowboy hat, is you get to do all sorts of things. Like, when you see a lady, ma'am,
yes.
You can go for the brim. You can also do that thing when you're befuddled where you pull it off and wipe your brow with it and put it by your side. I don't know. When you're taking a nap, you do that thing where you slide it down. Mm-hmm. And when you're sort of curious, you do your thing where your eyebrows come up and the hat slides back on your head.
You flip it back. You flip it back. Show the forehead a little bit.
And you put your feet up on the desk?
Yeah.
You got to be able to...
Yeah, when you take a nap, like when the sheriff's taking a nap.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. There are really all kinds of emotions that can be conveyed via the cowboy hat.
Also, yes. As Brian, the phone screener, points out, of course, no greater celebration than taking the hat off over your head.
Yeah. Whooping it up, right. Doing that move.
Yeehaw!
Yeah. Also,
my first time ever doing it.
If you want to prove that someone's a great shot, would you rather get one in the forehead or would you rather have one take your hat off
and
then get shot down the street while you chase it?
The comedic value of that is beyond.
True. Also, if you've gone without water for a long time, you could take it off and kind of scoop it into the trough and put it over your head and do all that stuff, too. Yeah.
There's so many things, and they had all these cool people who wear cowboy hats. Just you're ruining it for me.
Right.
You're ruining it for the people who would do the comedic bits.
I agree.
In daily life. Gwyneth Paltrow may be pregnant.
Mm.
Lou Diamond Phillips introduced her at the Screen Actors Guild screening of her movie Proof and called her a pregnant woman. And when asked how far along she is, she replied, far enough along to feel very cumbersome. But there's no official announcement of the pregnancy yet. Elizabeth Shue is pregnant with her third child. Over the weekend, Eminem married former ex-wife, now current wife, Kim Mathers.
Seems like you shouldn't be able to get remarried to someone you already were married to. You should just get undivorced. And then you would then mathematically be married
to
them again.
And let's do away with this renewing of vows.
I don't like that. I don't like it at all. Yeah. Yeah, it's one of these things. I mean, if you get remarried, you get remarried. But these obnoxious couples where every 5 years they renew their vows and then they invite everyone and then my wife gets angry because I make fun of it. No, I don't need that kind of pressure.
Got to buy new gifts for them.
Oh, we're renewing our vows. Yeah. Yeah. To me, you don't sound secure in your love. That's what I tell my lady. I am so secure, we don't even have to talk. That's how much I love you. Now leave. I'm watching Rick Eisen.
Let's test our love. Go away.
Yeah. And let's be with other people. And see, and really put it to the test. See how strong our love is. Yes. As a matter of fact, I'll be with multiple partners. You can watch. We'll test your love and vision and camera skills. Now, when you're angry, the camera shakes, sweetie. Okay.
Hey, finally, interesting thing, rumor-ish going around that I heard and also read in some varying news-type sources. Steve-O and Nicole Richie.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Maybe you can call your drunken friend Steve-O and find out.
Wow.
The deal is with that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really?
They were spotted.
Yes, let's question him directly.
Yeah.
Brusca. Chop, chop.
Yeah.
He's so coy, he may not kiss and tell. Well, I'd like to get to the bottom of that.
Yeah, me too.
All right. Brusca, get on that.
We need to find out more.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports.
do it, Dave.
Divisional playoff weekend in the NFL. Seattle Seahawks overcome the first quarter loss of league MVP Sean Alexander. They beat the Redskins. Carolina wins its second straight road game. They beat the Panthers. Panthers at Seahawks for the NFC crown next Sunday. In the AFC, the Broncos finally beat the two-time defending champion Patriots. Their 10-game postseason win streak is over.
Lovely.
Broncos at home next week. They host the Pittsburgh Steelers, who beat the Indianapolis Colts. NBA last night, Sacramento Kings were winners. Top 25 hoops over the weekend. 13th-ranked Washington beat UCLA, formerly ranked number 12. Oregon dumped Arizona, and Pitt stayed undefeated with a win at Louisville. Venus Williams is out of the Australian Open. She just lost her first-round match. But back to the NFL, particularly the Pittsburgh Steelers versus the Indianapolis Colts game. I come to you this morning sitting atop cloud nine.
Yeah, what a game.
Trying to be a good teammate here.
Oh, no.
Let's just say what we have.
Oh, no. I need theme music to tell my tale.
Must kick this 46-yard
field goal. No. What gives?
Wow. 0 for 3, Mike.
I'm glad we went over this. Terrific. I want the dramatic music. There we go. It sets the tone.
Yes.
Let me review this game
for you.
You
know, it'd be great. It'd be a list.
Big Ben comes out of the gate sharp, throwing strikes.
Yeah.
Before you knew it, it was 14-0 in that climate-controlled dome. The Colts didn't know what to make of it. The steel curtain was stout.
Yeah.
They shut down the vaunted Colts offense.
Yeah.
Touchdowns were traded. The Colts were backs were to the wall. Big Manning forced one. Troy Polamalu, like Grease Lightning, stepped in front of him and picked it off. But the referees decided to go against the Steelers. They didn't want to see what all the world wanted to see. They reversed the interception in what would have gone down as the worst call in NFL history.
Yeah.
But they got the ball. They drove it. Now they were within just one score. The Colts had a shot.
Yeah.
Peyton Manning decided the greatest offense. This is the time, now or never. But they were buried, their dreams buried underneath the pass rush of the steel curtain. The game was over. The sideline celebrated. The city of Pittsburgh was ready to explode. They were at the 1 yard line with a minute to go.
Mm.
But the bus, the legendary bus, Jerome Bettis, fumbled at the one.
Mm.
Colts defensive back Nick Harbor with a stab wound in his leg picked it up, and he began to run for the end zone in glory. But Big Ben, number 7, Roethlisberger, had other ideas. He chased him down. He tripped him by the shoestrings. Still, the Colts had the ball. Time remaining. They drove down the field, did the Colts, for a last-second field goal try that would have sent the game to overtime. Let's hear how that went.
Vanderjagt, who now must kick this 46-yard field goal to tie. And it's no good!
He missed it.
Not even close. Wide right.
There you have it!
Yeah.
No injustice was going to keep this victory from happening. The date with destiny. See you in Denver
for the
AFC crown.
Huge. You know what I would say if I was Vanderjagt? My excuse for kicking it into the bleachers would be, there was a retarded child with my jersey, and he was sitting in the front row. And as a kicker, you never have the opportunity to give anyone the ball. You don't go into the end zone and hand, oh, sure, Randy Moss gets to find the kid in the wheelchair with number 18 jersey on and hand it to him. But as a kicker, you never get to do that. Yet, I am so accurate with my foot, I actually kicked it at the kid. That's the excuse I would use, because that kick really looked like he was just aiming for somebody that was in the lower stands over there. It didn't even head toward the uprights. Wow.
Yeah, that was atrocious. And then Peyton Manning, class act, usually. I usually think he's all right, but here's what he said after the game about about the offensive line and the steel curtain pass rush that felled his dreams.
Be a good teammate here. Let's just say we had some problems in protection, but like I said, I'll give Pittsburgh credit for their blitzes and their rush. Those guys rushed, but we did have some protection problems.
Why do we hold the guys to these high standards, though? I mean, Sheck, we've played a little hoop in our day. A guy throws a bad pass, and we never stop talking about it for the rest of the day. If you got sacked, and I don't mean just sacked, I mean Joey Porter blindsiding you and driving your head into the turf 5 or 8 times, would you not have, you would have a press conference and start yelling out guys' moms' names, giving them giving out home addresses and phone numbers, you'd be, you would never be that magnanimous. I mean, you'd never be like, let's just say, we had some protection problems. You would be yelling at everybody, wouldn't you?
I would, yes. You're right. You're right. But let me, and one more thing, if I could say this. I have one more comment to make. First of all, like I say, I mean, the big picture is, I was transported to Cloud 9 yesterday, and there I shall stay until at least next Sunday and hopefully beyond. But one thing that bothered me about the games, I already pointed out that Jared from Subway, all right, it's run its course. Enough's enough. Stop showing me the commercials about Jared's transformation. I was hip to it about 6 years ago. I don't need to be reminded by this effeminate fella that he eats submarine sandwiches to keep his weight down.
Yeah.
Here's another thing that's a weird one for an adult to be doing. And it seems that there's only one person in every stadium, but every stadium has the one guy, grown man, who gets a big cardboard D and then gets a piece of fence and then holds them up at the appropriate time for defense.
Right. Yeah.
Who is this character?
I have no idea. No, I have a better question. Who marries him? Who is he? Who's waiting for his fat ass when he comes home? The defense. Yes.
Enough with the defense.
I saw a creative one that had D from What's Happening, the young black actress D, and fence, two guys fencing, two guys sword fighting.
Yeah, now see, that's
I would
fresh
also
turn.
Accept D Snyder from Twisted Sister and a guy looking over his shoulder at a pawn shop while he handed him some jewelry or something.
That would take some thinking.
It would take some thinking, but it would be effective.
Yeah.
And I would appreciate it. Yes, the capital D with the picket fence, effed out 10 years ago.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
Nice job. Okay, now, we've been, if you've listened to the show at all, you've heard me railing against the man in terms of these left turn arrows. I say it should be legal. I run left turn red arrows. When the light is green and the arrow is red, I just proceed like I'm at any intersection. Like I said, a nice rule of thumb is to physically hold your thumb up. It's nice when a rule of thumb can actually involve your thumb. Nice rule of thumb is to actually just hold your thumb up where the arrow is while you're sitting in your car. Just hold it in front of your face and block it out. Now all you see is the green light, and you turn left when there's no cars coming. I think I could beat this ticket. I've done it thousands of times. I encourage everyone within the sound of my voice to do this, to take a stand against the man. I mean, it's Martin Luther King Day. He did a few things that the man didn't want him to do. He organized, he assembled, he marched. Rosa Parks didn't go to the back of the bus. There were laws on the books that said, no, you can't assemble. No, you have to sit in the back of the bus. No, no, no. But these brave Americans, they took a stand. And on this day, I shall too take a stand. How say you?
Yay.
I say yay, Rachel.
I say yay.
I say yay to me too. And two huzzahs. Hip, hip.
Huzzah.
Hip, hip.
Huzzah.
All right. So we have an attorney calling in.
Yes.
Who's an expert in these fields.
Yes.
Who's going to not only tell us how we can do this and what our legal rights are.
I want to start a class action suit.
Start a class action suit. Yes, the millions of man hours wasted, all of us sitting at red arrows waiting for them to turn when the traffic is clear and there's no good reason. Combined, the lost productivity, amazing.
Can
also,
I just say,
yes.
I've turned at those arrows when they're red before just because I didn't know.
That's right.
Like, it's confusing. I just didn't understand. I'm like, I don't want to be stupid and not go.
Then the worst part is now the confused person when the arrow turns green who's scared to venture out into the intersection because they've had their timing thrown off by these things. I'm going to take a stand against a man. We'll take a quick break. And when we come back, hopefully we'll have some legal answers.
Let's get some momentum on this.
And, let's have a surge, a grassroots surge, an upswelling after this.
You're listening to The Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM. And do it right now.
Yes, you should. Oh, we got to talk about the law. First, though, something caught my eye. Janet?
Yeah?
Some DJ's making fun of me?
Yes.
What's going on?
And I'm extremely upset about it.
Really?
The guy's name is John London. Because I'm from the San Francisco Bay Area.
Mm-hmm.
And I listen to Freedom FM all the time, mm-hmm. and he was just totally bashing you, saying you had no business being in morning radio, and and he was also bashing other people in the show, saying that you were kind of being. He also said he didn't like Rachel.
Mm.
He said he couldn't stand Rachel.
Mm.
And by the way, Rachel, I love you. By the way, I think you're awesome.
Thank you.
You know, and I was really offended, and I kept trying to get through, and I think there were other people trying to get through because I couldn't get through on the phone line.
Yeah.
And he was just saying all kinds of stupid things. He was saying how you were trying to be like Howard Stern, but yet he's sitting there whining, cancel my contract, I don't want to be here, whining like a little girl, you
know?
Are
you really going,
Well, not exactly
I
like
see.
That. But,
all right,
but
Janet.
He might as well have been doing
Thank
that.
You.
Because,
Thank
you.
Thank
know,
you.
I love you, Adam.
Thank you. God love you.
You too.
Rachel loves you too.
I do.
Yes.
In a platonic way.
Well.
Not necessarily.
That's right. That's right. She didn't say anything nice about Sheck, so I won't include him on that list. Here's the thing. I know how this goes. First off, whenever you're in the same profession as somebody else, you have to hate them. I worked with Dr. Drew for many years. He hated all doctors. I find it ironic. You have a profession and you're sitting there with the person and you're watching TV. When I was a carpenter and a guy would come on, a fix-it guy or hand, oh, but please, this Joker, this Johnny come lately wannabe. Hey, and then you try to include other people. Look at him. He's doing finish work with a 20-ounce Von waffle-ended framing hammer. My God, this guy's a joke. Makes me sick. This is how you are. You hate everybody who does what you do. I don't know how it works. I guess it's insecurity. Radio guys are no different. It's like TV guys all hate each other. Nobody's funny. Radio guys all hate each other, too. The difference is radio guys have a radio show, so they can talk about their hatred for the other people, whereas carpenters and doctors don't have a microphone. And yeah. I know it's a very radio thing to do, like a morning radio thing to do, to get all PO'd and call the guy and get into it. And that's a very Howard Stern thing to do and make a big deal out of it. I don't care. I assume everyone beneath me hates me. That's the way I look at it. I just look at it that way. All the guys who do the nights, they want to do the afternoons, and the guys who do the afternoons, they want to do mornings, and everyone hates whoever's doing the mornings because we get paid the most and we don't work that hard.
But let this be known. You're not about to take guff from nobody. Just after the show on Friday, we were out for a bite to eat some nice pastrami at Cantor's
yes.
Deli.
Yes.
And after completing it, we walked out the door. And some character walks up to you, he recognizes you from a distance, and you say, oh, this guy's excited to meet the Ace Man. But he walks up, and he says, hey, Adam, you're not as good as Howard.
Yes.
What did you say?
I told him to F right off.
Very loudly, too. It was very impressive. And the guy tried to talk. No, 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 he said. I'm a producer.
Let me explain. Let me explain as far as everyone needs to do this. You need. I feel like a lot of people have to search around their own hopper for profanity. You know that thing where somebody cuts you off and you're like, what the? Hey! And then the F word comes a couple stutters and stammers later, or on the street where the guy says Howard Stern's better than I am. And normally it's that sort of thing where it's like, what, huh? What? Hey, will you go? I'll tell you what. You know, is that the, I always have one chambered.
Mm.
I don't have to go for it. It's always chambered. Yeah. I don't have to cock it, load it, put the clip in. I always keep an F off.
Lead with your best material.
A good right. go F yourself is also very nice.
I did right. eventually get into that too when he explained to me he was a producer.
Like my that favorite, makes a difference.
I know.
My favorite is Danny Glover in Lethal Weapon. His when someone attacks him verbally, he comes back with go spit.
I was
like
going to do
one.
That one. Yeah,
I can speak on personal experiences. The producer thing's not going to help him with Adam. I mean, I'm a producer, Adam. Don't yell at me.
F yourself.
I think it's embarrassing for this guy that he's actually gone to the trouble of saying this stuff. Like, it's embarrassing for
it's a
him.
Strange instinct.
Yeah, I know.
I'm uncomfortable. I feel like I'm watching an episode of Three's Company or something when I hear about this.
I should have given him the beat it, but instead I gave him the F yourself. And then he just kept going. I kept telling him to F himself. All right, so local DJs making fun of me. Fine. So be it. That's what I want. That's what I would expect. Okay. And to get back to where we were, we're talking about the left turn arrows. We have Big Tad's attorney. Big Tad's, not that he has an attorney because he's starting up Nevada Corporations or something. He has an attorney because he's got a couple of DUIs.
Yeah, this guy's Ron. He's a really good lawyer.
Ron McGregor is here. He's so good that Tad has to blow into a tube to get his car started
that
every morning.
That was my fault.
Okay.
At least I could drive now.
All right. Ron?
That's me.
Now, do you specialize in traffic law?
Well, let's put it this way. Criminal law. Traffic's part of that.
Okay.
You got to turn your volume down on your radio.
Yeah, something, what's going on? I'm getting a bad... Brian, what's going on over there? Can you figure that out? Can we pot something down or move something up?
I think...
Let me try it again. Hang on a second, cool. Ron. These attorneys are very cagey when you ask them if they specialize in something.
I feel like he's got his radio turned up or
something.
No,
that would be like a 20-second delay.
Oh.
Ron?
Yes.
All right. Still a little funky.
Wow, we're in the future now.
Yeah. Where there's no denim. So, Ron, I say that these left-turn arrows, and again, they have them all over Southern California, they turn red, the signal is green, and there's no reason they turn should turn red because it's not dangerous to turn left, especially at midnight. If they put these things on timers, the intersection is clear, there's no traffic coming, I can see the earth curving over the horizon with no cars coming my direction, yet I just sit there waiting to be T-boned. And there's another good question. What if I was sitting there in the middle of the night waiting to turn left because the arrow was red and I was carjacked? Could I sue the city? You're laughing.
Well, you live in a society which means that if it's red, you can't turn if you don't want to break the law.
Hold on a second. I'm writing this down. Tad, really? This guy's a good lawyer?
Yes, he is.
Okay. Yes. All right. What about laws that are wrong, that are unjust, that we should band together and squelch?
Well, then all you have to do is write your legislature and say, I want to change it, and get them to move.
But what if you can't spell, but yet you're in a hurry when you're driving? What should you do?
You make the left-hand turn against the red, and you break the law.
All right, you break the law. Now, let's say I do that and I get a ticket.
All right.
And I employ you.
All right.
And you go to court with me, and we try to make a case that says, A, there wasn't an arrow on this intersection this time last year, and B, there's no reason why it was unsafe for me to turn. Do you think we can fight it?
Well, the first issue, there wasn't one there before, isn't going to give you any kind of satisfaction. Because it's there now, and you're talking about now, not later. 100 years ago, they didn't have electricity, so does that mean you could move anyway?
That's my second argument.
No, your second argument you really want to talk about is, if it wasn't an unsafe maneuver, should I still be cited?
Right. That's my point is, now what do you think of this argument? My point is if you're driving, if the speed limit is 65, and you're driving 62, but it's in the middle of a hailstorm and visibility is 5 feet, you could be cited because it's unsafe. Even though you've not exceeded the posted speed limit, you've been driving in an unsafe speed given the conditions.
That's a correct possibility, yes.
I make that same argument that, yes, it would be unsafe to turn in front of this arrow at 5 in the afternoon, but at 5 a.m. when there's no traffic, I'll use your same logic against you. What about it? How say you?
Well, that's not an issue that I think that you can't make. The question is whether or not you obeyed or disobeyed the law. The law says if you have a red light and you make a turn, then have you run the stop sign?
How about the spirit of the law?
The spirit of the law is that you are making a turn that you feel is inherently safe because for what you can see, if you could see in 40 miles in each direction, there's nobody going to keep you from turning.
Right.
And you're not going to endanger anybody, but that's your individual opinion.
Well,
there could very well be somebody that you don't see, And if you don't see that person and you get T-boned in making the turn and kill that person, should you be then charged with some other more egregious offense because you ignored that particular sign?
I think you should, but what about the intersection before it and after it where I could use my own judgment to turn, where there was no arrow?
Well, see, the law in speeding violations under 65 miles per hour will tell you that you can, let's say, move your vehicle in a matter that is safe for conditions, and it could very well be less than the speed limit, and it could very well be more than the speed limit. But California state law with regards to traffic signals doesn't say, well, if it's reasonably safe, we should turn, or we can turn. You don't have that option in traffic
signals. So you don't think we could win the ticket?
Well, I don't think we can win the ticket under the current state of the law. I think you'd have to get it changed to say that if it appears safe to the driver on a red light where no other vehicles are proceeding, if it appears safe that they can make the turn, then you have, like you would in speed violations, an exception.
All right. And how about Big Tad? did he pay you in potato chips?
Not at all. Not at all. Tad's very reliable.
He really is. Wow.
That's why he's blowing into that thing, right, Tad?
Yes,
yeah.
Sir.
Otherwise, he'd be walking to work?
That would probably be true.
All right.
What if we sue?
Can we have a class action lawsuit?
Well, you could, but on what grounds?
Well, I say these things are unnecessary, and I think they're costing California taxpayers millions of dollars of lost productivity.
Well, I like the... You see, you're missing one area that I even like even better, and that's where they have the right-hand turns, not the left-hand turns, and they have it on camera.
Mm-hmm.
Where if you make the turn and you violate the red-green scenario, they send you a letter in the mail with your photograph and the vehicle's license number and say pay the fine.
Right.
See, I don't agree with that at all.
I don't agree with it either.
That doesn't necessarily mean that you can't get a citation for doing it.
Well, but at least you've done something illegal. That's inherently dangerous. What I'm talking about, turning left when there's no oncoming traffic is not inherently dangerous.
Well, you see, that's what I'm saying. If you make a right-hand turn and there's nobody coming and there's just a camera there and...
Well, hold on. Do they have cameras for right-hand turns? I thought they only had them for red lights and intersections.
Oh, and they have them for right-hand turns as well.
But it's legal to turn right on a red.
Well, it is unless there's a sign that says no right-hand turn on red.
All right. But at least those are during special hours. All right. Ron McGregor, thank you very much. I got to tell you something. I don't want to insult Ron McGregor, but I have now spoken to 100 attorneys in my adult life and have not learned a thing from any of them. Not one
well,
thing.
This guy wasn't exactly Atticus Finch either. Listen,
no.
If we're going to do this,
we need a real attorney.
We need someone dynamic.
To
head this charge.
That's right.
We're going to bring someone in on Wednesday who's a little more dynamic.
I don't need a lemming in a powdered wig who's diving off the cliff with the rest of you. I need a man to stand up. I need a man. Yes. Yes.
You need a man.
I need a man. That's what I need. This is To Kill a Mockingbird business. Is that the movie?
We need
that's
a
what
pet
I need.
Type, right.
That's right. I need someone who's going to stick it to the man, someone who has... I need an Aaron Brockovich type. Someone that hates the man and wants to exact his toll on the man. All right, thank you very much, Ron. We will take ourselves a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
You're listening to the new Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM.
Well, this just in, confirmation from Nicole Richie's publicist. She is dating Steve-O. I would then have to...
It's actually Steve-O's guy.
Steve-O's publicist. Really?
Yeah, Slits or something. I don't know.
Well, I mean, does he have a real publicist?
I think it's just his guy basically confirmed it with Mike August.
All right. I will, the next guy who is with Nicole Richie is going to have to boil her in Beazle nut juice in order to get the stink of Steve-O off.
What if it was Jared from Subway?
Interesting.
I've banished him from the public eye, but
now he's
apparently he won't go away. He's not heeding my word.
Speaking of his word... Dave Damashek, if anyone's been listening to the show, has his best of list for 05. Now, anyone can do the best movie or the best sports team or something like that, but not Sheck. He focuses on the minutiae, but the important things, the day-to-day things.
Right. Yes? Well, I'll let the Golden Globes, the foreign press, you know, they can talk about movies and junk like this. I talk about important things.
Yes.
Fruit of the year. Condiment of the year. And an appropriate one given today's holiday. Let's get right into it.
I feel sorry for the other studio musicians who had to pretend like they liked that song when they were laying it down in 1981.
Yeah.
You know, just said, oh, yeah, no, awesome
stuff.
That
one felt good.
Felt good. That's a keeper.
All right, here we go. Today, we celebrate Martin Luther King, a man who taught us that the quality of a person is not based on the color of their skin. But make no mistake, ours is not a colorblind world. And while I, too, dream of a day when all men are treated equally, I love our Technicolor globe, our big blue marble.
I do, too.
So, with that said, the nominees for 2005's Color of the Year. Orange. I love orange. If I had a sports franchise, you said you've got a new team. What are your colors? Orange and black. Handsome, handsome combo.
Handsome combo, yeah.
Powder blue. I'm secure. I'm secure in my masculinity. I'm not going to apologize.
I think the Panthers win had something to do with that.
Moss green.
Nice paint color.
Mossy green, yeah.
Right, great on, great for walls in your home. I recommend it highly. Dark red. Not bright red, and not burgundy.
Not burgundy,
but
dark red.
Dark red, dark red.
That'll class a place up.
Yeah, would that be like an oxblood color?
Okay.
Okay, all right, dark
brick,
red.
Brick, you know?
Brick, yeah.
And
open the envelope.
2005 Color of the Year. Wait a second. Never before has this happened.
Tie?
A last-minute write-in.
Wow.
Not even nominated, not even on the list. It's a tie. Black and gold. The Pittsburgh Steelers apparently influenced this.
What a shocker.
Here we go, Steelers. Here we go. All the way to the Super Bowl.
Sheck did tell me, in a stunned crowd, In all honesty, that he pulled out his terrible towel, that he'd had it folded up so that it wouldn't spill its precious seed earlier in the season, but he did actually pull it out in the fourth quarter.
I didn't need it last week, but this week I needed it. I wrung some of the magic out of it to stop Peyton Manning from moving the ball, and it worked to an extent, but then on that last field goal, the last second field goal try by Colts kicker Mike Vanderjagt, I wrung it for all it was worth, and the magic of the towel worked again. A pox on you, Mike Vanderjagt. To the Super Bowl we go.
All right. All right. We will take ourselves a little 20-hour break. I want to thank Rich Eisen from the NFL Network for calling in. Also, Michael Ian Black for calling in. The great Jimmy Kimmel for calling in. Nice job booking, Mike. Also, lawyer Ron McGregor for calling in. We had our differences, but I don't want to get sued, so I'm thanking him. And, of course, all the smoking hot sales girls.
Thank the traffic lady.
Yes. Oh, and Tori, the traffic lady. Yeah. You know, Booker Mike does his best work when the people actually work in the same building. Other than that, he's a little spotty. But if any celebrities actually take up residence here in the building, I think he could get them. All right, big show tomorrow. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying mahalo.